about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Thanks, fellas. The outpouring of support from everybody, especially the fans, has been truly special. So while I'm laid up, holding things down on the radio side will be these two superstars.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
You see, we are the part-time radio crew. So, enjoy the view from the bottom of the broadcast barrel. Relax. Put on your headphones.
Don't do headphones. Can't stand the sound of my own voice.
Really? Now, see, I assume you masturbated to your own voice.
My real voice, sure, but no headphone can capture the complex bourbon and butter flavor of my actual timbre.
You, Friday. You, Friday. Friday. Friday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hello, Canada!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Boca, por favor, sin dientes.
Roll another one.
Oh, that seems too big.
Just like the other one.
I love the weenie.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Too much information.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Do you think you could identify a genital wart?
Mediocrity always rises to the top.
Just like the other one.
What about robots?
This one seems to be about
spent.
And I don't have another cent.
Well, I love women, but they're extremely primitive. They're basic. They're not that hard to understand.
Does anybody buy your bullshit?
Just pass it around.
Oh my God.
And don't bogart that joint, my friend.
I think that a miracle needs to happen.
Pass it on down.
And now.
I've done a lot of things in my life, a lot of things in the career, and this is truly in the top, I think, 1,000 things I've ever done in my life.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning, the 5th of April.
What's up, kids?
Hi.
Hey.
What's happening?
I had to go out to a dinner last night.
Wow.
With people.
Oh, my God.
I had to put on long pants.
Oh, no. Bean.
Yeah.
I had to arrive at a restaurant at 7 p.m., which is 3 hours past when I like to have dinner. And by the way, I have a policy about dinner, which is it's got to be less than an hour.
That's reasonable.
That's reasonable,
no.
Right? I know what you're thinking. That sounds just makes good sense.
Okay.
And 9:30, I'm hustling people we got to go, you guys. It's time to go. We must be done.
He is the least patient person ever.
Well, I don't have
dinner.
Time for
be chit-chat. Ready to order. I don't want him to have to come back in 1 minute.
Do you think he only does that with us? You
I don't
think he does that with, like,
oh,
assume, friends of Donna's.
I assume he does that with everyone.
Bean.
Well, I'll tell you, when Donna and her little friend Erica start ordering appetizer after appetizer after appetizer, and the waitress keeps coming by going, you guys ready to order your main course? And she's like, no, we're still enjoying these. And I'm just looking at my watch going, come on. 9:30, you guys. Nobody should be out at 9:30. That's ridiculous.
Did they get dessert?
No. Everybody was so
full. No, he wouldn't allow it.
Yeah.
Because that's...
No dessert! Let's go!
That's my problem. When they ask, like, when a waiter or waitress asks, would you like dessert? And I go, no. But then someone else says, yes.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be friends anymore.
And then do you always say, oh, well, let's look at the menu. Because I want to leave, but they always... Oh, no, let's... Do you want to split this? No.
No, I want to go home.
Thank you. You're welcome to my life. I tried the whole, oh, you know, they don't have coffee or tea here anymore. They don't allow it. Didn't
you
want to make sure none of that was happening.
That
yes. 2.5 hours for dinner. What am I doing, guys? What am I doing?
You're living life.
That's not living life. That's living hell is what that is.
Mm.
And then you were probably so hopped up on being angry that you couldn't fall asleep right away.
Yeah. Oh, I was furious.
Yeah. Tapping his finger on the bed.
How many people total?
Just four. It was
only four.
Donna, me, and another couple. Hmm. Who are, by the way, delightful people.
Sure.
Nothing wrong with them. They're fine.
Well, they're night owls.
Apparently. Of course. They must be. Yeah. Well, they had a babysitter. Their date night is Thursday night. That's the one night they go out. So I don't think they were in any hurry to get home.
No, they're going big.
Yeah.
That was your bad right there.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the only night they can do it because that's the only night they have a babysitter. So I think they're
fine. You need to start it at like 4:30. Get your babysitter there earlier.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Not that there'll be a next time, but if there is, we're starting at 4:30.
When you walked outside at 9:30, was it bright out already?
It seemed like it.
Yeah, I mean, like squinting. Ugh.
Yeah, it was a long night.
When you come out and the sun's up,
yeah,
it was a long
9:30 p.m.
I may or may not have plans tonight. I am very seriously thinking about taking in the New Orleans Baby Cakes. They're playing tonight. That's the minor league team here in New Orleans. They're playing the Round Rock Express. And, you know, I've been obsessed in recent years with the minor league teams. Are you aware there's the Amarillo Sod Poodles?
I was not aware of that.
The Amarillo Sod Poodles, you guys. This is one of the newer teams. They are the AA affiliate of the San Diego Padres. Any idea what a sod poodle is?
Never heard of it.
It's a minor league baseball team.
It is?
Yeah, that's it.
It is a slang for a prairie dog.
Oh, gross.
Which I didn't know. Their first game was last night.
Prairie dogs are... Okay, sorry.
What?
I was just thinking about when you prairie dog it.
No. So. These are the actual animal.
Very products, different.
Yeah. That would make for a really cool logo, though.
Right?
That game I would go to.
It's just peeking out of their bee holes.
They opened their season last night against the Corpus Christi Hooks. There is the Biloxi Shuckers, who are a AA affiliate of the Milwaukee Brewers. They were formerly the Huntsville Stars, and now they're the Shuckers.
Yeah, we know they're
not that kind of Shucker.
Oh.
It's a nod to the city's seafood heritage.
Oh, not a nod to Dane Cook's weird stand-up bit.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Oh, well, it's a nod
a Shucker
to
bit.
It's a nod to seafood heritage as well.
Sure.
Okay, jeez. I'm not interested.
Let's just take it that way.
Allie, I think we've discussed before that your favorite team is the Binghamton, New York Rumble Ponies.
I love them.
You love the Rumble Ponies.
I love the Rumble Ponies.
That is a tribute to Binghamton, the so-called carousel capital of the world.
Oh, wow.
Which I did not realize was a thing.
It's lovely.
The Daytona Tortugas. Are a single-A affiliate of the Cincinnati Reds, the Tortugas, you guys. Any thoughts?
Did you order that last night for dinner?
I could have, because a tortuga apparently is Spanish for turtle.
Huh. Oh.
Huh. Do you want to name your sports team after a turtle?
I mean, it's kind of the prairie dog also. turtle at it.
I am a man who went to the University of Maryland, home of the mighty Terrapins. So, yes, I guess I'm down with the fighting turtles.
I'm going to just keep it a bean.
The Tortugas season opened last night when they took on the Florida Fire Frogs.
Oh.
The Fire Frogs.
Love it,
you guys. One more, the Rocky Mountain Vibes is a team.
Yeah.
Vibes.
They are the rookie league affiliate of the Milwaukee Brewers. Now, do you think that has anything to do with being in Colorado, being
Absolutely.
Early on the pot?
Yeah, for sure. Like vibes in the Rocky Mountains. I'm smoking weed. I'm listening to maybe a fiddle.
What?
Oh, yeah. Everybody gets high on weed and then listens to a fiddle, right?
I don't know why I said fiddle.
In college, we used to just sit around, smoke a joint, listen to the fiddle.
They're opening this season against the Orem Owls, by the way. In case you're curious, the Vibes was a name that team contest.
Mm.
They could have been the Colorado Springs Lamb Chops, the Punchy Pikas, the Throttle Jockeys, or Rocky Mountain Oysters, which I'm surprised didn't win. But they instead are the Rocky Mountain Vibes. Imagine the job of trying to come up with a mascot and a logo for a team called the Vibes.
Yeah.
By the way, that would be difficult. So anyway, there's your minor league update news. So if I make it to the
Been
baby
looking
cakes
forward
tonight,
to this.
Well, I mean, you gotta. It does make. I know you always say that baseball is boring.
It
if
is.
You're going to see the Rumble Ponies. That at least adds a level of delight to the evening, right?
But do they play baseball in that stadium?
Yeah, of course they do.
Okay,
as long as the games are done by 9:30, I'm okay.
Sure. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Jesus, what do you expect? A parade?
We don't want to go late for Bean.
Mm-mm.
RJ Bell talks to us today about the college basketball championship going on this weekend and how you might be able to make some money.
He did tell us, and I guess it's not a surprise because of how many games there are, but there's so much more money bet in Las Vegas on this tournament than there is on the Super Bowl.
Yeah, crazy. Keep it 100 because it's Friday. We have Matt Walsh in studio.
Yes. Oh, I love him so much.
So good. Love him so much. From Veep. Very excited about that. I don't know if you saw the parking standoff for 6 hours. I don't know if you saw that, but...
I saw it on the news yesterday, and they said it was only an hour.
Oh, I kept hearing 6 hours.
I heard 6 hours from somebody on our show, too.
Even an hour, by the way.
Even an hour of two people, neither of whom will give up a spot, is insane.
It started, and it was light out, and then it was dark. I don't know the time in between, but I assumed it was much longer than one as well.
Well, the time code on the video seems to be around 6:30 to after 7:30. So I think maybe it just happened as, you know, in that time of day where the sun... But it's still insane.
I have hot takes, as you know.
You would sit there blocking traffic, waiting for somebody else because two people arrive at a parking space at about the same time. At some point, you give up and go, my time is worth more than this.
I got feelings on it.
Okay.
You don't trust it?
Nope.
All right.
Conspiracy Jensen?
All right, we got a fast food report today.
Yes.
And we also have tickets for you for Coachella for weekend one, 3-day passes, K-Rock Party House passes, and TCL headphones as well. Coming up this morning, we'll take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 551.
Getting some love on Twitter, by the way, for the beloved Anaheim single A affiliate, the Trash Pandas, too,
which
we should give a shout out to.
Sure.
One of the all-time great minor league baseball names, right?
That's amazing. Are you serious?
Yeah.
How did you didn't mention them in your report.
Well, there's hundreds of minor league
baseball
teams.
But Trash Pandas, that's excellent.
They also have a great logo. It's exactly what you think. It's like a panda.
It's a raccoon, right?
Yeah, coming out of a dumpster.
I love it.
That's fantastic. I don't think that's true.
They have a version of it like that. They do.
Yeah, but he's not coming out of a dumpster.
They have one like that.
If he's not, he should be.
All right, Ali is here with our first look at what's happening on a Friday.
Stay, first of all, and I need you to stop. Thank you so much. City of Chicago had to wait 7 days before filing a civil lawsuit against Jussie Smollett. Those 7 days are up. They have filed a civil lawsuit against Smollett.
What can they get in a civil lawsuit?
He could go to trial
for
allegedly faking the attack. So they are
if they have evidence that he faked the attack, why don't they charge him criminally?
Well, I think that's going to... We haven't seen the last of this whole situation, I'm thinking. But they're demanding $130,000 for the cost of the investigation into the case.
Right?
Been there, done that.
And Jussie's people told the city, "Yeah, no, we're not going to pay it." So they're like, "Well, we're just going to sue you civilly." So that's one thing. And then Taraji P. Henson was on The View yesterday, and they point-blank asked her, will he be back on the show? And she said, well, yeah, he's doing well. I talk to him all the time. I haven't heard anything else. Really?
A lot of questions surrounding this story.
Yeah, it's very sketchy.
Yeah. I feel like the first step would be unsealing the case, right? And then once they unseal it, if there's anything that people are like, hey, what? More outraged, then the feds are like, hey, let us
step
do
in,
this.
Take care of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Canceled.
Man, he's just the worst, isn't he?
You're a tattoo guy, Jensen.
I'm a tattoo head, yeah.
Same with you, Bean.
Me too, yeah.
Soon to be, yes. Does your wife, Danielle, have any tattoos?
She had some regrettable 90s ones that she had removed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Would you guys ever get matching tattoos as a couple?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, Chrissy Teigen and John Legend have just done that. They recently got tattoos to pay tribute to their family. Chrissy Teigen's reads John, Luna, Miles. Luna and Miles are their two kids.
Oh.
And then John's reads Chrissy, Luna, Miles. What if he didn't put her first name first?
It would have been funny.
Yeah, it would have. He's like, Luna, Miles, bartender at my favorite bar, housekeeper, Chrissy. That would be funny.
If you had asked me to guess which celebrity couple would have been most likely to get matching tattoos, it would have been John Legend and Chrissy Teigen.
Yeah, for
sure. Because of dedication or because of basicness?
Like, no, because they're just hopelessly publicly in love all the time.
Yes, they seem to rule.
Yeah.
You know who's not going to get matching tattoos? Jeff and Mackenzie Bezos. They have finalized their divorce in a settlement that makes her the third richest woman in the world. She has retained voting control over the nearly $20 million in shares of stocks for the Amazon company that she's keeping. Her piece is worth about $35 billion.
I'm sorry, you said billion with a B.
Her cut is $35 billion. And this is all without fighting him in the divorce, like with the cheating scandal, that type of thing. This is just them doing it without a prenup. Hey, let's go to our lawyers. Let's figure this out.
I was surprised how much she gave up.
Yes.
Honestly. I mean, she has 35 billion.
She has $35 billion.
But he's keeping 75% of the stocks. Yeah, he's keeping the Washington Post. Yeah. He's keeping his company, space company, Blue Origin. They haven't said how they split up their property holdings, but she's only keeping a small percentage of Amazon stock, which is kind of crazy.
I'd just like to say that she's getting $35 billion.
Yes, absolutely.
She doesn't need she doesn't need more than $1 billion. She has 35 of them.
Yeah, after taxes.
I didn't think about that. Especially this year, for God's sake.
Yeah, I know that's the argument, and believe me, it has driven me crazy, too, in certain situations. But the other side, to be fair, is she's been with him for over 25 years.
Yeah, when they had nothing.
When they had nothing, yeah. Mm-hmm. And you could make the argument that he doesn't get to... Maybe he goes on and does Amazon without her, but maybe it helped a lot having a woman at home to look after his four children while he was doing it.
Or even just to talk to her about stuff. Yeah. I mean, maybe she was involved in decision-making for the company and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, you say she's getting $35 billion. That's insane. Imagine how much he kept.
Yeah.
So.
Also, she joined Twitter.
Did she?
Mm-hmm. She did. Yeah. Just to make the announcement about the dissolution. Yeah.
How many dudes trying to slide into those DMs?
Right? I know I did.
Right? Amen.
She's an attractive lady, too.
She is, absolutely.
And more so yesterday than she was the day before.
Good Lord. So it sucked to be Martha Stewart yesterday. She was doing a book signing, and she had to leave the premises abruptly. Well, that happens when a anti-fur...
Not that bad.
An anti-fur protester crashed the New York City event for her book, holding up a sign and chanting that the television personality has blood on her hands. So she left, and it's unclear as to why they would target her, because she has worn fur in the past, but PETA has praised her for speaking out against the industry. She even recorded a video for the group in 2005. And then she won a Compassionate Collaboration Award from the group in 2018 for her vegan shoe line.
Maybe that dude's just not paying attention.
Right? He's like, I don't have Google. And I saw you in a fur coat in 1998. It's just...
And PETA's like, hey, dude, she's good.
She's on our side.
She's good.
She's one of us.
He
let his subscription to Martha Stewart Living expire, apparently.
Mm. Oh, that could be it. Yeah.
But she did return to the signing in full mink. She left and then had heads on it and everything.
Oh, yeah.
My mom, she got me a hand-me-down from a deceased relative. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, because like minks were like expensive and like all those things were like signs of wealth at some point.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And one of them that she got is like a scarf.
Oh, with the floppy head on one side?
And like you hold it up and you like see the eyes in it.
Yes. Yeah, I don't want to see the eyes of the clothes I'm wearing.
But can you imagine that being like a status symbol back in like the 20s? Like, I got the heads on them.
I always thought it was just something you saw in cartoons.
Yeah,
I didn't
because
think
it's
it,
ridiculous.
Absolutely. Right. And then I saw it in the wild, in real life, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's real. People are wearing an animal head just flopping around.
Yeah, you might as well have like a Dalmatian. You know what I mean? Or like a like a sweet animal. I can't believe that's a thing.
And I have really mixed feelings because I've, you know, obviously I'm way, way anti-fur, as many of us are now. And there's no excuse because fake fur is indistinguishable completely from real fur now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's no animal that they have not been able to recreate the fur. So there's literally no reason to kill an animal for a coat anymore. But I do have...
What about the eyes? You need the head and the eyes. Yeah.
But I am confused because... What to do with the millions of furs from the past? I mean, those animals are long, long dead. If you have a fur from 1960...
Bean has a fur, you guys.
Is it
Bean is walking around like a pimp.
Is it okay to wear it if you have a fur from 1960?
Full-length fur.
I don't know, Dolomite. Is it okay?
Great reference that eight people got. But great reference. I mean, you could have gone with Shaft. At least somebody would have known it.
Was it as deep?
Dolomite.
Answer the man's question, right? Dean.
What does yours look like? Is it head to the ground?
Of course.
Of course it is.
Yes.
Full-on pimping.
Full-on. Full-on pimping.
Yep. Love it.
I got a Cadillac and I got a big hat.
Nice. Unbelievable. Well, I'm glad I did the Martha Stewart story. Excellent. We find out a lot during these segments, Bean, about you. Fantastic.
If anyone had Dolomite and Kevin and Bean bingo today, they are so happy.
Amazing. All right, you guys, a lot of birthdays today. We've got Colin Powell, Haley Atwell, Mitch Pileggi. Right?
Yeah, sure.
X-Files. Sons of Anarchy, I mean, come on, right?
Yep.
Who's with me? Lily James.
What's with you?
Okay. Paula Cole. Pharrell Williams. Sterling K. Brown. Oh.
Love.
Can we take a minute and just really think about what a wonderful man he is?
He's a darling.
Thank you. And Charlotte Flair from the W.
1 hour from right now, tickets for three-day passes for Coachella, passes for the K-Rock Coachella Party House, and TCL headphones.
It's too much.
All coming up in an hour.
By the way, you'll be on your way to Coachella 1 week from today.
Correct.
It's happening next weekend.
Correct.
Time for the Fast Food Report. Hit it, Steve.
KROQ 106.7 FM, through the magical wonderment of radio airwaves, brings you the Fast Food Report. With your dude with the lowdown on chain restaurant food, Jensen Karp.
Pooped my pants.
He'll get his hands dirty with grease and face covered in cheese. He's your direct line to delicacies and calories. He's Jensen Karp. Take it away, Gumshoe.
Ah, thanks, Omar. The star of the QSR is back. I have some things that I'm going to give you new to the fast food scene. You guys tell me if you will eat it or beat it.
Okay. It's astonishing how many new things are proposed and introduced every month.
I honestly usually have so many I don't use some.
Wow, that's crazy.
It is quite an industry. With the recent announcement that Shaquille O'Neal will be the face of Papa John's, Domino's knew they had to step it up. Sure, they could have hired Christian Laettner or former Denver Nugget LaPhonso Ellis, but instead they've introduced the hot dog pizza.
The hot dog pizza.
Testing currently in France is limited edition. Not only does the pizza have pieces of hot dogs as toppings alongside sausage, but it also has full hot dogs stuffed into the crust.
That's a lot of hot dogs.
Like a bun. Like it's a bun inside the crust is a full hot dog all the way around.
And we're supposed to guess which of these items is fake?
No.
They're all real.
No, they're all real.
This one too?
Yes, it might be a bit of a health risk, but that's not what I'm asking about. I'm asking hot dog pizza, eat it or beat it. We'll start with Allie.
No, sir.
Beat it.
I'm going to go with a strong yes.
Eat it. I mean, that's the proof that he'll say yes to everything. Bean?
Hell's no.
Beat it.
All right. That I could have maybe predicted. But I also think that is so heavy.
Yeah.
Sausage and hot dog on top, then hot dog inside.
Yeah, it's a lot of hot dog.
Oof.
Please don't isolate this, but that's a lot of meat.
Well,
yeah, we're not going to isolate that.
Definitely not. Can you do it while I'm talking about the second? Now let's travel to India, where the McDonald's there offers the McSpicy Paneer.
Mm.
Since they're the only country that doesn't offer the signature Big Mac at McDonald's, which is crazy, they decided to take 2 years to develop a paneer filet that was firm enough to be deep fried, yet creamy enough to sink your teeth into. If you don't know, paneer is...
I don't know what it is.
Well, it's a fresh cheese made by curdling heated milk with lemon juice, vinegar, or any other food acids. It's so popular in India at McDonald's that they use over 120 tons of paneer a month.
Oh,
it's served on a bun with creamy sauce and lettuce, and so I ask, are you here or do you steer clear of the paneer? Eat it or beat it. We'll start with Kevin.
Beat it.
Beat it.
Wow, that's a first. That seems racist. Allie, eat it or beat it?
Honestly, it would make me so sick because I'm allergic to cheese, but I got to try that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Eat it.
Yeah.
Eat it and end up on the toilet very fast. Bean, eat it or beat it.
Do they not serve Big Macs in India because they don't eat cows? Because they're revered there?
I believe that's it.
We don't need backstory, dude. Eat it or beat it.
I was just curious about that. That sounds very interesting to me, intriguing to me. I would absolutely eat it.
Eat it.
I think I would, too, for the record. Mm-hmm. Spicy paneer. And it's so popular there when in Rome, you know?
Are we dedicating any amount of time to eating it? Like, if I say I eat it, do I have to eat it for
A year or two? Or can I?
No,
because
no,
you
no.
don't have a try. It's so one, I'm just saying.
It's one sitting.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
right.
Once you're not.
Gotcha.
This isn't a torture.
I'm just checking. But you do have to finish it, Kevin. If you order it, you do have to eat the whole thing.
Okay. One day I will do eat it or beat it for the rest of your life.
Okay.
The
all
only
right.
thing
wow.
you're allowed to eat.
Wow.
Taco Bell is known for basically making up hundreds of different items with just the same 7 ingredients. Well, to change it up, say hello to the Churro Donut. Being tested in Kansas City currently for just $1. Keep that in mind when making your decision. Mm. This is a donut-shaped churro, deep-fried until crispy and dusted with cinnamon sugar. Back in 2012, the chain did offer a churro, but never as a donut, and that's the circled magic here. They will test it through the end of April, then hopefully nationwide. So I ask you, when it comes to the churro, comerle or lagarte? Allie?
Comerle.
Wow.
Comerlo.
Low.
So I'm going with Comerlo as well.
I'm happy I have Omar to do these.
Comerlo.
Beam.
I'm way Comerlo. Sounds delicious.
Can I play Lagarde just to hear
please.
It?
Lagarde.
Oh. Now I wish you would have answered that way. It's almost Easter, which means for many the return of Jesus, but for the Fast Food Report, it means some seasonal menu items are now in rotation.
Okay.
And none will be as limited as the Dunkin' Donuts. You tell me, do you know what Peeps are?
Sure.
Yeah, it's a little Easter treat, yeah.
Yeah, a little Easter marshmallow treat. Well, they'll be introducing both the Peeps marshmallow-flavored coffee and donuts topped with the neon-color Peeps chick. Coffee tasting like Peeps.
I heard, yeah.
Both limited, according to DunkinDonuts.com, just in time for your egg hunt. So I ask, a little combo here. Peeps coffee and Peeps donuts, drink it or sink it, and eat it or beat it.
Wow.
Yep, we'll start with Allie.
First of all, every single Easter, I get an Easter basket sent to me, which includes all sorts of Peeps.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of my favorite thing.
Okay.
I am not only going to drink it.
Yes.
I'm going to eat it.
All right.
Then I'm going to drink it again.
Okay.
And then eat it again.
Okay.
And then I'm going to make it so they can't sell them because I bought all of them.
Drink it.
That's a strong endorsement.
I can't wait.
And then, right. And then.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's tough to keep track of that.
And then.
Yeah.
And then okay, Kevin, eat it, beat it, drink it, sink it. Well, actually, it's drink it, sink it, eat it, beat it. Coffee first.
Drink it.
Drink it.
Eat it.
Wow. This is a run. Bean.
I am very surprised to hear both Kevin and Allie on board with Peeps because online, Peeps have the terrible reputation like Necco's do, like Fruitcake does.
Like our beloved candy corn, even.
Yes. There's so much hate for Peeps online.
Not even
there
a little
is.
Bit.
Absolutely.
No.
And I think
you're
Peeps
insane.
Are awesome as well. And I plan to A, drink it.
Drink it.
And then I plan to B, eat it.
Eat it.
Which is technically
beat it.
But yeah, I understand. I am constantly featuring the creative minds over at Sonic, always on their toes, thinking of new things that they've just outdone themselves this time. At the end of April, they'll be introducing Red Bull Slushies. If you're looking for that little caffeine and also the slurpy consistency, then look no further. This will mark the first time ever that Red Bull is offered at any nationwide fast food chain. And for those who don't love the natural taste of Red Bull, they'll have cherry limeade Red Bull slush.
Wow.
The slushies will range in price from $2.99 to $4.99, depending on the size. And the largest size will have an entire can of Red Bull in it. So I ask you, are you looking forward to having caffeine and sugar and then bouncing off the walls for hours? Drink it or sink it. We'll start with Kevin.
Drink it!
Big Red Bull guy.
Yeah.
All right, that makes sense.
Can I add my own vodka?
I knew
yes.
it was coming.
I'm just asking.
Yes. All you got to do is walk over to the CVS.
Okay.
Allie?
I am not going to do that.
Okay, you are going to
sink it.
Sink it.
All right.
Whatever
that.
It is.
Bean?
I think I'm a pass as well, Jensen.
Wow.
Sink it.
Well, that was the Fast Food Report.
Signing off for KROQ 106.7 FM. That was the Fast Food Report with...
You guys, Matt Walsh coming on the program later on today. Yes, yes,
love.
He is from Veep. He'll be joining us to talk about the final season of the show. I loved the premiere on Sunday.
So did I.
I loved it.
I finally understand Bean's pre-sad thing.
Thank you.
Because before it aired on Sunday, I thought, I really want to watch it, but do I wait and just like let it play out over a long period of time so I have Veep for more time?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pre-sad.
Yeah.
Okay.
You get it. Thank
and
you.
And what was your choice?
I watch it Sunday night.
Yeah, don't be ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
All
right. Guys, this is one of the strangest parking standoffs I've ever seen. Fortunately, social media was there to capture it. A woman was in her apartment, and she looked out, and she saw two cars that neither one of which was willing to move because of a dispute between the drivers over who got the parking space, the one and only parking space on the street. Here's the report from, I believe, Channel 9.
Yes, the game of chicken for the prime spot went on for about an hour and a half. CBS2's Greg Mills is live in Koreatown with the unusual conclusion of this parking battle. Greg, that's, yes, unusual.
Unusual is one word, yeah, you could use, Pat. There are other words I'm sure you can use, too. The woman was in this apartment building, and she shot this thing for an hour and a half and shared it with the world. Parking very difficult in this area of Koreatown, and there were two cars right over there who wanted the same spot.
What? How long do you have in your day where you're going to sit there for an hour and a half and not budge?
The only thing I can think is, here's what happened for folks who haven't seen the video. There was an open space.
What?
A black car comes along and pulls past the open space so that he can parallel park into the space.
Mm-hmm. The old Turner, you know, back in. The old easy parallel move. Yeah.
Sure. Right. Before he's able to do that, though, a silver car comes up and blocks his access, feeling that he was already, I assume, I'm putting myself in the head of the driver, feeling that, oh, that black car went past the space. It's my space. And I don't know if the silver car thought he had a way of going in forward or not, but neither driver would budge.
We've all been in this dance.
Yes.
This is a very common dance.
Yeah.
And to answer your question, Kevin, yes, an hour and a half is insane. But I know what was going on in the heads of both drivers, which is, I live here. I don't want to have to park four blocks away. This is my only shot to get a decent parking space for the night.
Sure. Sure.
Can't find parking any time of the day or night.
He said he sees double parking, parking in red zones all the time.
By the way, they're just interviewing a guy that lives in the area.
Yeah, it's not one of the
not
two.
Not one of the two people, no.
He and everyone else told us demand far exceeds supply here in Koreatown.
I mean, I got rid of my car for the sole reason of it.
Thanks to pics and videos from Mariah Flores' window here at 5th and Catalina, the world was able to witness via Twitter parallel parking and patience taken to absurd levels.
Yeah, just kind of a silly situation.
Look at this. Drivers in the black car and the silver car vying for the same parking spot, and neither one will budge. Flores noticed that around 6:20 p.m. and started posting tweets soon after.
6:40 is still here, but now they have turned on their flashers.
Oh, they stay just like this for more than an hour.
Now, Jensen.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on this and why you don't necessarily trust it.
I am absolutely shaking my damn head. I don't think.
Are you Johnny Hot Take here?
I will listen. Hot Take Jones is back. This is a fake set up viral tweet.
You think so?
Really?
Because
with all three of them?
A couple, yes.
Okay.
There's a couple reasons. One,
couple.
They never speak to each other at all.
That's that's my question. Is after that's an we're already an hour in. They're in the same position, and no one has gotten out to say, "Hey,
can I?"
You don't have to move your car just to get out.
Let me keep it going.
Okay.
No honking. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Except from the drivers whose access is being blocked because they're in the lane. Yeah.
Exactly. But no honking from our two participants.
Yeah.
Then, which I guess maybe we'll get to in the news report. I'm not sure, but a spot does open up across the street.
It's in the news report.
Yeah. They don't even go for that one. This seems and also this is so viral that they're getting interviews with people around the neighborhood. No one has come forth to be one of the two cars.
Well, I did notice that they haven't interviewed either of the drivers, just people in the neighborhood and the woman who shot the video.
And then when it ends, it's even weirder that they just walk separate ways.
Yeah.
That's so
without odd. Having words with each other.
Nothing.
So look, we're disappointed that there's not a fight. That's what we're saying.
But even if I'm even saying on the scale of 1 to 10, 10 being, you know, chair shot to the head, even if there was just one sort of like yelly moment.
Right.
It's nothing. It's like the most chill hangout.
Flipping somebody off.
Yeah.
I think it's real, and I think both of these people are damaged.
That's what I think.
I don't think they can behave. I don't think they behave like regular humans do.
They do not.
Let's go back to the news.
These two drivers were patient, but others weren't.
Hey, we just got video of a guy honking at them.
At them, yes.
Let's put it on.
Vin Scully would have been proud of her play-by-play account, which was going viral.
Take it easy.
She asked people to choose Team Silver Car or Team Black Car. And Chrissy Teigen was a black
team car. Black car, of course. Car. Yeah, anybody who's a good driver is team black car.
She's in on it. She's funny. She, like, gets it.
It was turning dark, and neither car had budged.
Approaching our one-hour mark, and then we did make the one-hour mark.
There's the celebration.
Yeah.
That's when Andrew McCray came out to move his car, creating space for both cars to park.
I was glad that I could resolve that issue, I guess.
Andrew's in on it, too.
He's in on it, too?
No, no, no. This is a full team. I'm not putting it past the FBI, either. But I'm saying for sure Andrew's in on it, yeah.
All Andrew did was come out and move his car, though. Why do you think he's in on it?
Because
everybody has to be in on it, right?
Yeah, the end is set up now.
So that's why they're not getting angry, because they know the end is coming.
Yeah.
I don't know. But to what end? Like, who benefits from this? This is what you have to ask about the moon landing and everything else. Who benefits from it being fake?
It's the same as the moon landing. I knew we were going to get to the moon landing in this. I think that this gets... It's just a funny gag that now has got out of hand, and now they're on the news, and Kevin and Bean, and et cetera, et cetera.
And internet fame, Bean.
Yeah. Also just stupidity. Like, it's just a funny thing to do.
Finally, about an hour and 40 minutes after this face-off started, Flores posted, "Silver takes the gold," as that driver opens the door and climbs out. And get this. Both the people you heard from in our story said there was parking available. Other places down in the street, either car could have gone to those.
When it was all over,
available.
They stayed in their cars for a while before even getting out of the car. As soon as you both can park in that same spot, because another car moved, so now there's two spots, you park, you say something to the guy.
Oh, obviously. And absolutely. Also, you've been waiting an hour and a half for a parking spot. I'm getting to wherever I was going as soon as possible. Like, I have no more time to kill.
I don't know. It's a bit questionable.
I think I'm swinging over to the side of it's false.
I think it's real, but I will tell
you. But don't people in that situation lose their temper at some point in that hour and a half and interact with each other in some way?
Or when it's over.
And I think 90 out of 100 people, 1 or 2 minutes in, would get out of the car, walk up to the other car's window and say, "Look, I'm trying to parallel park into this space. I got here first. Yeah. Please move along."
Yeah. But we're all Team Black Car, right?
Of course.
Absolutely Team Black. None of us want to imagine our parents at a time when they were young and dating and possibly banging.
Wow, that went south quick.
It's not the parents we want to believe that our parents have always been old and the last time they had sex is when we were conceived.
Yeah.
Jensen, you have actual video of your mom.
No.
Hold on.
Wow.
You could have worded it different.
Wow.
A whole bunch of things you could have done.
That was on purpose. You have actual video of your mom on the prowl.
Take it easy.
Dating game on television, choosing between Bachelor number one, Bachelor number two, and Bachelor number three on the other side of the stage that she can't see.
That's great.
Have you known about this your whole life, or is this a recent find?
No, I've known about this my whole life. In the mid to late 60s, my mom appeared on the dating game in what was called a celebrity episode.
1966, this episode aired.
Yeah, so basically they would do black and white episodes, and then for special episodes that were in color.
Is that right? That was the special part of it?
Yes. And this was the Christmas, New Year's holiday episode where my mom chose between three celebrities at the time. She was the Bachelorette.
Oh, wow.
So when I was a kid, I was watching He-Man cartoons, and while I'm watching them, someone calls the house and is screaming, Channel 5, Channel 5! And my mom puts it on, and her rerun rerunning like 20 years later, and so we taped it. And so that was the only way we would have ever gotten it again, is if it showed up on... And so we've had this tape forever. It's a cute thing. And then recently, within the past month, it showed up on YouTube.
Explain to people what the game was if they don't know that you can't see the three guys.
Yeah, so basically, so a bachelor or a bachelorette comes out. There's a wall in the middle. And past that wall are three people that you could go on a date with. Mm-hmm. You hear their voice, you hear their answer to questions, and then at the end, you pick completely blind between the three people.
Here's the open of the program before Jensen's lovely mom, Haroldine, comes out.
From the Chuck Barris stages in Hollywood, California, it's The Dating Game. Here's the star of the show, your host, Jim Lang.
And here they are. By the way, not the star of the show. Star of the show, Jensen's mom.
Yeah, I mean, years later, yes.
So they bring out the three bachelors. All three are child stars. Two whose names are lost to history.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is Jerry Mathers, who was the freaking Beaver on Leave It to Beaver.
Yes.
Okay, and at this point in 1966, he's pretty well known.
Yeah, he's
because
very
the show
famous.
The show's been on and in reruns for 10 years at that point, right?
Yeah. And he's kind of cute. Then.
And he's kind of adorable, right? Yeah. All right, so here you'll hear Jensen's actual mom, Haroldine, in 1966. These are the kinds of lame questions that she asked the bachelors to decide, sight unseen, which one she was going to date. And this is actually a question for Jerry Mathers.
Number two, give me an indication of what your heartbeat is going to sound like the first time I kiss you.
Well, I imagine you're pretty groovy, so it'll probably be pretty loud. Probably go boom, boom.
How are you supposed to decide who to date based on what their heartbeat sound effects are going to be?
What they think their heartbeat sound effects are going to be like when she kisses them later.
Also, right. we should address the problematic issue here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. My mom, well, these men on the show are in their early 20s.
Okay.
Yes. The Beeb was 22 at the time.
This is a different era.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
My mom, at this time, was 15 years old.
Oh! Oh, good God.
Did they let her?
How did they let her on
the
dating show?
I don't understand that question. I don't know.
15.
Yeah, and they never addressed it or anything.
Now, the dating game ends with a date. Yes, no?
Yes, it ends with a date.
Wait till you find out where this date is.
Oh,
yeah.
All right.
Chip, would it be difficult? Would it be difficult for you to skip the next clip and go to the fourth one, please?
Yeah, give me a second.
So she asks a series of ridiculous questions, none of which are going to give you any insight into what the guy's. I guess unless you're looking for just a sense of humor or something like that, they don't give you a lot to go on, is what I'm saying.
Did you notice they bleeped her?
What did they bleep her for?
She said, oh, God.
Really?
Yeah. Why about that? And then they bleeped her saying, oh, God.
Here's time is up. Now she has to choose.
Okay, that's it. That's the signal, Haroldine. A fine game. You have exactly 60 seconds now to make up your mind. Which of our three mystery bachelors will be your choice for a big swinging New Year's date? Meanwhile, let's listen to this message.
What the hell's going on? Is that listening to the music?
Is that directed by David Lynch?
All right. She has chosen Bachelor number two. She has no idea that it is TV star Jerry Mathers. Here's when she finds out.
Welcome back to The Dating Game, our final show of 1966 nighttime, and you're going to make the final selection, Haroldine. Which one will it be now? You thought about it? Analyze it. Will it be Bachelor number one, Bachelor number two, or Bachelor number three? Which one have you decided on?
Bachelor number two.
Yes! Two!
Right. Awesome.
So Jerry comes out from behind the wall. They meet.
All right. Let me tell you something about the gentleman that you did choose. He, too, was a child star. And no matter what he does, even though he goes in for serious roles now and is a fine actor, he'll always be remembered for his starring role on the long-running series Leave It to Beaver. Here is Beaver, Jerry Mathers!
All right, so stop the tape. So you hear the crowds going wild because he's a little bit of a teen idol at this point.
He's a big star,
right?
Yeah.
Because he's Jerry Mathers.
But
okay.
Also, my mom said that she expected a small 8-year-old to come out. She hadn't seen him since he was a kid.
That would have been better than this.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jensen made reference to the date. All right, he's 22. She's 15. Mm-hmm. I hope they have a chaperone and they're going out for milkshakes and a movie.
That's the dream.
At lunchtime.
Yeah.
At lunchtime, right. So she can get home for homework, right? Listen to what the date is in 1966.
Haroldine, now you're a little too young to be familiar with New Year's customs around the world, but the most famous and traditional sound of the coming of the New Year is the sound of bells. But the most famous bells of all, which ring out on New Year's Eve, are the bells you're hearing now recorded. Well, Haroldine, you and Jerry will be hearing the real thing on New Year's Eve. The two of you will be listening to the sound of the bells of Big Ben in London, England.
And that's how human trafficking started. What is going on?
How did your grandparents let her go to Europe with the Beef?
Okay, so they went on a few dates here before they went to London just to make sure he wasn't like Creepo City.
Okay.
And then the dating game gave them a chaperone so that they would be with this, you know, so there was always someone there.
Think you would have to just legally to cover yourself.
Yes, and they had two different rooms, but my mom said immediately when they got there, the chaperone was like, gonna go shopping. It just took off. And my mom was super, all right, let's word this right. My mom then said she felt like it was expected that maybe when you go to London, you would hook up with the dude.
She would put out.
And take care of the beaver.
And it wasn't a great date.
Is Jerry Mathers your father?
That is really why we're doing this segment. Jerry, if you're out there, what does your nose look like?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
Hey, if you want to throw a couple of dollars at a great cause and have a fun evening out, we are doing Kevin and Bean's 11th annual April Foolishness on Friday, April 26th at the Microsoft Theater. Proceeds to the Intrepid Fallen Heroes Fund and Cedar Sinai NICU. It's a great night up comedy, including Ray Romano, by the way, Greg Fitzsimmons, Eddie Ift, Jamie Lee, Felipe Esparza, Adam Ray, and the Kevin and Bean Rap Battle. Tickets on sale now, AXS.com. Allie, take it away.
Bean, I don't think you were here when my daughter picked you to win.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I think Bean's going to win. I was like, what?
I don't think you were here when I picked you to win. Yeah. Which is what I've been saying all along.
A lot of people passing the blame, basically. Yeah.
All right, sorry, Allie, back to you.
That's okay. Bean, you were not here when Jensen took us on a little journey through Country Trap.
Yeah, this is that controversial song that briefly appeared on the country music charts, and then they decided it wasn't country enough, so they deleted it, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's, yeah, Lil Nas X, he has a song called Old Town Road, which sounds pretty country.
It's got a banjo in it.
It has a banjo. He talks about horses and whatnot. Quickly raced up the Apple Music and Spotify charts, debuted simultaneously on Billboard's cross-genre Hot 100, hot country songs and hot R&B hip-hop songs, and then Billboard pulled it from the country charts. They said upon further review, it was determined that Old Town Road by Lil Nas X does not currently merit inclusion on Billboard's country charts. And people were like, that might be a little racist. What's happening? So he had said, oh no, it's country trap. That's this new genre of country music. Well, fast forward to a man named Billy Ray Cyrus tweeting a message of support to the Atlanta rapper. And then hours later, he was featured in a remix of the song.
Oh, no.
That was released last night. And before we press play, would it shock you that I heard it last night, immediately sent a clip to Omar and said, we need this for tomorrow because this song rules.
It's a bop.
But for real,
yes. It's a bop.
Real.
You like it.
Yes.
This is not
real.
Okay.
I'm
not
ironically. No.
No.
Okay.
Here we go.
Living like a rock star, spend a lot of money on my brand new guitar. Baby's got a habit, diamond rings and Fendi sports bras. Riding down Rodeo in my Maserati sports car. Got no stress, I've been through all that. I'm like a Marlboro man, so I kick on back. Wish I could roll on back to that old town road. I wanna ride till I can't.
And that's Allie's pick for That's My Jam.
A Old Town Road remix.
It's hot. It's tight.
Yes.
It's a hit, man, and I like it. I'm going to go get it. That's a keeper right there.
It sounds country enough to be on country.
I wonder so if too. It'll make it now and what the difference is.
Huh. I wonder what the difference would be.
It's almost like they added a white dude.
Whoa. To get it on the charts.
How much do I love Billy Ray Cyrus, though? He's like, listen, let's do a remix. Let's do this. Yeah, amazing. Yeah, that song is gonna skyrocket on all the charts.
Yes.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
Everybody.
And I assume that now they'll have to keep it on the chart, right?
I mean, that brings up a bigger problem.
Because white guy.
Yeah, that brings up... I think they have to stick. They have to stick to their ruling. Yeah.
Will they?
Let's hope.
Can you imagine if they're like, nope, it's country now. Oh, damn.
It sounds racist.
Yeah, it's not great. You guys, you want to know something that is great?
Sure.
This holiday season, Hallmark is celebrating the big 4-0. Nope, not
this holiday
years.
Season. When you say holiday season, you mean Christmas?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
4-0.
April 5th.
Is the number of new Hallmark Christmas TV movies that you can expect.
Wow.
40, you guys.
Ho, ho, ho. Come, sit on Santa's lap.
That's a record. Last year, they only had 38. And, of course, these are between Hallmark Channel and the sister network, Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. I'll tell you this. The first of these movies is scheduled, Bean, these are your people,
okay,
to debut in July with the launch of Hallmark's Halfway to Christmas campaign.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yes. You've finally been listened to by my family. favorite people at Hallmark.
Half Christmas is finally a thing.
It's not a thing.
It is a thing.
Fantastic.
Yes, that's the launch of Hallmark's Halfway to Christmas campaign. And then, of course, we do the Hallmark Channel's Countdown to Christmas.
Sure, we all do.
The 10th anniversary. That kicks off on October 25th. And let me tell you.
What are you gonna do when Santa comes by?
I'm going to say, what's up?
Right. I'm telling you, Kat Corbett and I are already deciding, like, whose house on which days to watch certain movies. It's just, it's so exciting. You guys
need to podcast it, I'm telling you.
We tried once.
Uh-huh. Too much drinking, not enough
talking. Too much drinking.
Just Instagram live it. Just do that.
Well, she sent me the audio the next day. She's like, what happened?
Oh, you guys are professionals,
right?
Unbelievable. So that's kind of exciting, you guys. Big, big news.
40, who's, huh? Who's going to get all the Lori Loughlin jobs now?
Hopefully my wife.
Well, yeah, but she wasn't really a Christmas movie gal.
She wasn't. Okay.
She did a couple here and there, but her Hallmark stuff were two different series that she did that were not Christmas related.
They were more murder related.
Yeah.
No,
Hallmark, call Danielle Fishel.
Call Danielle.
That Christmas money.
Who we want.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I have my hierarchy of Hallmark Christmas, dare I say, a queen.
April 5th.
My queen would be Candace Cameron Bure.
Okay.
And then her court would be Lacey Chabert, obviously.
Okay. Solid, yeah.
Danica McKellar.
Sure.
She's on the court as well.
Great choice.
Oh, gosh, why can I not remember her name? Redhead, amazing. Alicia Witt.
Okay.
She is on the court as well. It's just, there's so many.
How do we even
from.
Know what that is?
Just saying, that's my.
I think there's room for Danielle to take a
I don't know who any of those people are.
Yeah, absolutely.
She did a meeting there, so, you know, follow through, guys.
Oh, that'd be huge. If I actually knew someone that was in a Hallmark Christmas movie,
we'll see.
That's like knowing Gandhi.
Put that in the Miss Bad Example file, would you please, Chip?
That is like knowing Gandhi.
Thank you for agreeing.
Correct.
Hey, happy birthday, Sterling K. Brown, Charlotte Flair, Pharrell Williams, Paula Cole, Lily James, Haley Atwell, Mitch Pileggi, and Colin Powell.
Gloria from the Lumineers.
That's new.
On the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's 7:07.
Latest in a long line of songs named Gloria, when you think about it. There's the U2 song Gloria.
Mm-hmm.
There's the Van Morrison song Gloria.
Mm-hmm.
There's
I think I got your number,
The Laura Branigan song Gloria, mm-hmm. Yes.
That was Beans.
Fun fact.
I think I got that alias that you've been living under, Gloria.
And now we've got one by the Lumineers. Yesterday on the program, Allie, during What's Happening, brought up American Horror Story, which was a very popular show. And I guess your story was what? One of the main stars was not coming back for the next season.
Yeah, he's going to sit a season out. So that got us talking about the American Horror Story house that you live by.
I live very near to the American Horror Story Apocalypse House. It's a very popular tourist attraction in the Garden District of New Orleans. And by very popular, I mean you can't drive by there day or night without seeing at least 10 to 25 people out in front of it taking photographs.
Wow.
Everybody that comes to New Orleans, it seems like, wants to go see this house. I wanted to see the house. I didn't even see the show because I heard how great it was, right?
So good.
And then I was also thinking when the Drake In My Feelings video came out and he shot that in New Orleans, he did a bunch of it in one of the houses in the Garden District. And I went and found that house too, because you just want to see in person the house that you've seen in the video or in the movies or on TV shows. And that's what we started talking about right at the end of yesterday's show. And Kevin, you were like, what the hell are you people talking about?
No, I just don't have that in me. I don't care to see a house where a movie or TV show is set, because it's not, because it's the same thing isn't going to happen there, because it's just a house.
You don't think the movie's going to happen behind
you? No. So when you go there, you're going to go, well, there it is. Well, and I'm not interested in that. I don't know why.
I've never been there, but I've read about the Christmas Story house.
Sure.
And those people have the
in
leg
Ohio,
lamp. They
right?
have the leg lamp in the window.
It's now a museum where you can actually go and take a tour.
Yeah. And same with the Goonies house for a while in Oregon.
And I do, you recall the house that that they threw the pizza on top of in Breaking Bad? Mm-hmm. The poor family that lived there was like, please stop coming by my house and throwing pizzas on the roof.
They couldn't get people to stop throwing pizza on the roof.
Right. Yeah. So this is the topic we wanted to get into with your help today at 1-800-520
800-520-1067. If you have ever visited a movie or TV or video location to take your picture in front of it, we want to hear what it was. And there are so many in Southern California. Mm-hmm. What's the high school that Torrance High with the Beverly Hills 90210 and 10 Things I Hate About You?
And Venice High was the exterior for Rydell High from Greece.
Tons of people go to both of those places mm-hmm. to take their photos. One very popular one right now is in Monrovia, and it's the house where everybody holed up in Bird Box.
Yeah, I can't believe this is like a popular tourist destination.
It's the latest tourist attraction in Los Angeles County, and people are from all over the world are showing up in front of that house and standing on the steps with blindfolds on because it's Bird House.
Yeah.
Here's a girl.
Hey, look
Abby.
At me. I have a blindfold on, like that TV show.
Right, but I can't. But you're standing in front of the actual right, house where it happened, Kevin.
Right. Sorry. Party pooper, I guess. I don't understand this at all.
You weren't a huge Brady Bunch fan like Ted Stryker and I.
Okay.
Were. I have been to the Brady Bunch house multiple times in Studio City.
Mm-hmm.
So has Ted Stryker.
Mm-hmm.
Because it rules.
I like that you're using Stryker as the, I'm normal.
Mm-hmm. Little bit.
She needs some cover.
Little
of
bit.
Course.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't you want to go see the Brady Bunch house? Yeah. It's one of the most iconic houses in American history.
I mean, because the Brady Bunch show didn't take place in that house.
Well, it's the exterior. You're not going to go in.
I don't know. I don't get it. You guys talk amongst yourselves. I'm fine. Just whatever you guys love, great. But I just don't have that in me.
I said this yesterday, but when I was in New Orleans, I did go out of my way to find the Real World house. And that's the only time I think I've taken a picture in front of a house. And I assume they don't get many visitors.
No, I assume. Is that a season people even remember, Jensen?
They should. David, come on, be my baby tonight.
Oh, that song was a jam.
Yeah.
So 1-800-520-1067. Before we go to your calls, Allie, any other places you've been to besides the Brady Bunch house and Rydell High?
If you know the answer to that.
I once had my friends take me to the house that Allie from Karate Kid lived in. I believe it was in Encino. It was somewhere in the valley. But it had the stairs leading up to the front door. So I could get out and run up the stairs and pretend I was Allie and that I'd just come back from my date with Danielson from Karate Kid.
Allie was talking about this for about 20 minutes yesterday after the meeting, and everybody just slowly left
you guys, but really,
place to go. With
talk
that,
more about it.
Where the people are.
Yeah.
Kevin, if you were in New York City.
No.
And you had the opportunity.
No.
To go get your picture taken in front of the Ghostbusters firehouse. The actual Ghostbusters firehouse.
Outside where they worked out of. They have the sign outside.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's a yes, right?
No.
Ghostbusters, your favorite movie ever.
I don't. No. Let's have you guys that enjoy it talk
would
about
you
it.
I'm not see gonna... it. Would you want to see it? No photo?
Not really.
Wow.
I think maybe we stop trying to convince
you're
Kevin
right.
To
that's
do
what
this.
I'm saying. Yeah. I'm saying let's just take me out of it and let's enjoy everybody else.
We need misery.
I'm not
misery
trying to
company.
Rain on your parade. I'm just saying I don't have that.
You're a bad man.
Okay.
Let's go to line two, Cyprus. This is going to be Paul to get us started. 1-800-520-1067. Movie, TV, video locations you had to see in person to get a picture.
Hey, Paul.
Where was it for you, Paul?
So I work around L.A. all over the place, and I happen to be in the area. And I went to the Toretto house from the Fast and the Furious movies. Mm-hmm. And I was everybody's as excited as you'd think I'd be.
I'm having trouble reading your voice here. Is that a lot or is that not a lot?
Seems like there's not a lot of excitement.
It was a lot. Sorry. I'm really tired.
Okay.
It was awesome.
So then after that, did you spend a lot of time going, look, this is the house from the Fast and the Furious?
I mean, I took pictures and then I sent pictures to everybody I knew and they got the reaction that I didn't expect. Like, they're like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
And
you got a lot of Kevins in your life. You need to start thinning your friends out.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. Go to sleep, please. Let's go to Whittier. Say hi to Linda. She's on line six up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. What's going on, Linda?
What's up, party people?
Hi there.
Hello. Morning.
Hey. So in Whittier, the Disturbia house, the one with Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
And at that time, I was going to school, to a little school right across the way, and so they had all the movie trailers. All of us were super excited. We were like, what's going on? And then later we found out that they were filming Disturbia off of Painter, so all of us would go to see it. it was kind of like the big fuss. I feel like not too much really happens out in Whittier, so, but it was super awesome. It was really cool.
Listen, that's the kind of obscurity I applaud. The Disturbia House.
A movie that is barely remembered, but you'll never forget it. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's try line 7, please. Juan is in L.A. up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Juan.
Good morning. How you doing, party people?
We are good.
Excellent. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you. What did you? Where did you go?
I actually got to see the Charm House, which also was used in our wedding as well, right there in over in Angelina Heights.
Are you like a Charmed fan?
Victoria.
Did you pick that house because you love Charmed?
I mean, I would hope so.
Yes, I did.
That's a big Charmed fan.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I actually lived by there, so I actually stopped by. I was there while they were filming, too.
And I slept outside the whole time.
I didn't know there were that
now
many...
Now I'm squatting.
Like, big Charmed fans.
Yeah, Charmed heads.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize Charmed heads exist. Okay. All right, Juan, thank you for the call. Let's just do one more before the break. Jensen brought this up yesterday. Line 1, please. Joseph LaMorato. This has to be one of the most visited houses in America, I would say. Joseph, welcome to the show.
Good morning, party people. I'm Fire Beer Mug already.
Kind of
done
weird sound
done.
What just
happening on your end?
Are you having a haunting? What's
that? Was you, Bean?
Oh, that was Bean. Okay.
Yeah, I left my phone on because the vet is calling.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Wow. All right, Joseph, where'd you go?
We went to San Francisco Full House. The one with the red doors.
Yeah, it's a beautiful house.
Yeah, it's very nice. The funny thing is we went up and down the street. We couldn't find it. And then my 7-year-old son at the time is the one that pointed it out. He's like, that's the house, that's the house. So, no, it's not. They changed the door color to blue. So we were kind of lost for a second. And sure enough, there's other people coming up, taking pictures with it. And that's how we ended up finding out.
Right, let me ask you a question. That house. Once you find out that that's the house, how long do you stay there and what do you do?
We took a couple pictures. We're only there for about 5 minutes.
That's
about right.
But if you're in San Francisco, you ought to get your picture taken in front of the Full House house.
Yeah.
You did the right thing, sir. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Locations you visited for the photo. We'll take your calls next on K-Rock.
Just ahead of the offspring, let's take one phone call. You visited a famous TV or movie house or area. Drea, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We are good.
Where'd you go?
Good, good. Okay, so we were at a wedding in Denver, Colorado, and of course it was mandatory to go see the Stanley Hotel from The Shining.
Oh,
nice.
Absolutely mandatory.
Did you?
I bet thousands of people a year stay there just because the movie was filmed there.
Yeah, and it was totally creepy. There was like seriously, when you took pictures, you did see like the orbs and like it was just scary seeing this.
Okay. All right.
I believe
what does it take to impress
I believe
Kevin?
You, Drea.
What, do you need to see the twins,
she
Kevin?
Sees orbs.
Right?
Do you need to see blood coming out of the elevator?
Thank you for your call. We appreciate you listening. 1-800-520-1067. What juicy TV, movies, video locations. We're taking your calls next on K-Rock. Dear Kevin and Bean, Allison writes in, several years ago, my family and I went to Vancouver, and on the way, I made my husband take a detour to a small coastal town called White Rock. This is the city they filmed the TV show Psych in. It was a stand-in for Santa Barbara. My daughter and I posed in front of the window that was the guy's office on the TV show. I thought it was awesome. My husband thought we were lame. I love that they went several miles out of their way to take a photo in front of that place.
Yeah.
Sounds like Kevin's with the husband.
Then they had a picture. And they were like, this is from that show that you don't watch.
And they'll treasure it forever.
Right,
Muggs, before we go back to the calls, where'd you go?
I love this stuff. I'm a sucker for this. Not many people know that after they filmed some scenes of Scarface, of course, in South Beach in Florida, Florida did not want them filming there anymore because of the premise of the movie. So they had to move it to L.A. And the scene where Al Pacino and Michelle Pfeiffer are at the Porsche dealership and he buys a Porsche and then they go in that big yellow Cadillac and start doing bumps. That's the Porsche dealership on Wilshire Boulevard, right down the street from here.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. Every time I go by it, I always think I'm in the movie. Also,
that's good.
But you do coke in front of it or what?
Yeah, we do bumps in a yellow Cadillac.
Cool.
And then the Montana real estate building is on Sunset Boulevard. And it's funny because
you said you were going to keep this short.
You did say that.
I was short. But that it's if you ever want to go. And witness Scarface history.
We'll go right after the show, Muggs. I'll meet you there.
Let's go do bumps.
We're going to do a live feed from there.
I'll meet you there.
Floor is on line 5. She's in Los Angeles. She's going to take this up a level, by the way. This goes beyond just taking a photo out in front of a house. Hey, Floor.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
We are good.
Dean, I miss you. We're going to miss you a lot.
Wow, she's pre-sad, you guys.
Pre-sad, yep.
I appreciate that. Thank you. What's the TV or movie location you're calling in about?
You guys, this is one of my dream come trues because it's one of my favorite movies. I have one of my best friends. She lives in the Back to the Future house. She lives in Marty McFly's house.
She lives in the house.
Wow.
So excited every time I go there. And the first time I asked her for her address, she literally just said, Google it.
That is cool.
Does she know she's your best friend?
A lot of people are best friends with the girl who lives in the Marty McFly house.
That's pretty strong,
though,
Floor.
She's a really good friend. I like to embarrass her about it all the time.
Very nice.
Very cool.
Thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Floor.
Jensen, I know you were in the market for a home recently.
Mm-hmm.
Would you have paid extra to live in a famous TV or movie house?
Well, a few years ago, funny you bring that up, we had a friend who was looking into buying the Ferris Bueller house, Cameron's house, the one with the beautiful garage with the
glass. And everything.
But that's really the only good part of the house. It's all cool, but clearly the setup of the house. Mm-hmm. But it was really expensive just because it was it was obviously designed by someone great. But it was from Ferris Bueller. It was more money, and we were like, you can't spend that just because Matthew Broderick was there once.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Right.
It's a good way to look at it. Claus is on line 8. He's up next on the Kevin Bean Show. He joins us from Upland.
Hey, Claus.
It's Klaus.
Klaus.
Oh, I apologize. Sorry about that. Where'd you visit?
I visited the iconic house in Los Angeles, 6 Feet Under.
Oh, my favorite show.
Oh, I love that show.
Beautiful house.
It is a great house.
Yeah. It's a great show.
Great house, too. Beautiful house.
You know what, Klaus? I would take a picture in front of the 6 Feet Under house.
Did you?
Well, the thing about it, Jensen, it's back during the age of no selfies.
You gotta go back.
Crazy. No, I was like looking around. I'm like, where's Nate? So I'm kind of looking in the windows.
Oh, no, that's a valid response.
Show that's
been
gone
for a long time.
Let's go to Stephanie, line 2. By the way, I hate to break it to him, but Nate's no longer with us.
Right.
Let's go to Stephanie, LA, line 2. Hey, Steph, what's going on?
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
So when I was a kid in the late 70s, we went to Boulder, Colorado, and we saw the Mork and Mindy house.
Why was the Mork and Mindy house in Colorado?
I have no idea.
It must have been just exterior,
All right.
And then last year we were in Oregon and we saw from Twilight, we saw Bella's house and then we saw the Cullen house. And those were very close to Portland.
All right. So you're just on a Twilight tour.
I would imagine there are lots of Twilight heads who have made that same journey, I would think. If you're still really, really into that show. Yep. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to...
Let's go to line 3, can we?
Sure.
All right. Daniel in Woodland Hills. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. What's up, party people? I love living in Southern California because there's so many places that there's filming locations around, especially in the Valley. I mean, you've got all the locations from Karate Kid. They just have the 35th anniversary. My name is Daniel, so that movie speaks to me a lot. Like Mr. Miyagi's house in Woodland Hills, the schools in Woodland Hills, his girlfriend's house is in Encino.
The South Seas is still there.
Yeah, exactly.
Reseda.
This is Allie's dream right here.
Leo Carrillo is where they did all of the beach scenes.
Sure.
Golf and stuff in Norwalk.
Right.
I think you and Danielson need to write a book, like a guide to Karate Kid locations in Southern California.
The All-Valley Karate Championships was at CSUN.
Right. There's so many good places. And then you also have like workaholic houses in Van Nuys. You've got the
Sorry, your phone is cutting out really badly.
Oh, sorry about
that. Yeah, it's not your fault.
Not your fault. But thank you very much for the call. And I'm so sad
because
I feel like there was a love connection being born on the air here between Allie and Daniel.
Yeah, their dates are just them driving around looking for Karate Kid locations. My favorite tweet is from Stacy. She said, "I live near the Mrs. Doubtfire house in San Francisco, and ever since Robin Williams died, people leave flowers there. It's crazy. He never lived there."
All right, you guys. it's Coachella time next weekend. 1 week from today, you'll be driving out to India. We will make sure that you are hooked up with a pair of sold-out three-day passes to weekend one of Coachella. Exclusive access to the K-Rock Coachella house with lots of great visitors stopping by, including the 1975, Billie Eilish, Dylan Francis, and more. Plus, a set of TCL Bluetooth headphones from TCL, one of the world's best-selling consumer electronic brands. I'm sorry, we have to clear all the lines right now and open them right back up for your calls to play a game. 1-800-52.
Listen, it's a pretty cool prize, a pair of sold-out three-day passes to weekend one of Coachella, which is next weekend.
Why are you being so defensive? We all know it's a cool prize.
You also get exclusive access to the K-Rock Coachella party house.
We're sold,
that sounds
man.
Great.
Are you trying to sell us?
We love it. Get a set of TCL Bluetooth headphones.
Phenomenal. What's the downside?
You have to suffer through a game called Omaroki.
Oh, no.
To win those tickets.
How dare you.
Sorry.
Omaroki as a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
My fear is that Omar has never heard any of the songs that he attempts to sing for the listeners.
Same.
And the guy that appears he's anyway. Like a wedding DJ.
Should have heard every song.
So here's the deal. Omar is going to be singing a song from one of the acts that's going to be playing next weekend at Coachella. It could be any of the bands, any of the artists, whether we play them or not, by the way, but they're all songs you probably know. All you have to do is identify the song by title and artist. After hearing Omar sing it, you go into the drawing. Somebody wins all the prizes that Kevin described. Who's up first, please?
Jordan in Manhattan Beach. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Are you ready for Omar?
As ready as I'll ever be.
All right, good luck.
If you want to destroy my sweater,
undone by either.
Hey!
Thank you for stopping him. How dare you?
Oh, yes. My God, if they could all go like that, I'd be so happy.
He gets extra points for stopping right. Omar from singing or whatever it is he's doing.
Jordan is already in the drawing. Who's up next?
Ramon from Los Angeles. Good morning.
Good morning, party people.
All right, Ramon, the warning again is this is any of the acts playing Coachella next weekend, whether K-Rock plays them or not, but they're all big, big songs. Here's Omar. One taught me love. One taught me patience. And one taught me pain.
What?
Now I'm so amazing. Yes, Ariana Grande, what song?
Thank you, next.
Yes! One taught me love. One taught me patience. All right, two for two.
So right on time.
How did he recognize that?
Omar Chella, bitches.
Let's go to Brian in Whittier. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Sorry for what's about to happen to you.
Báilame como si fuera la última vez y enséñame un pasito que no sé, un besito, bien sabecito, baby. Taki taki, taki taki rumba.
Oh, jeez, oh, that was awful.
How dare you,
sir? I have no idea.
That one was DJ Snake doing taki taki.
Yeah. I mean, that one.
That almost sounded like it.
Almost. I mean, he did put the title in it, but that doesn't help you if
right?
you've never heard the
Very
song.
Close.
Before, All right, so two out of three. That's okay. Who's next?
Rick in Norwalk. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, party people?
Yeah, Rick. You ready, dude?
Yeah, man, go for it.
Here we go.
Good luck.
I don't want your body. 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 Come on, baby. This ain't the last time that I see your face. Come on, baby. You said you'll find someone to take my place. Title and artist, it sounds nothing like what Omar's just saw.
Yeah, I'm very much more sexy, yes.
Right. What do you think, Rick?
I think Omar's a beehole. And is it Stars? We don't want your body?
No, I'm sorry. We were looking for somebody else by the 1975. Yeah. This ain't the last time
that I'll see your face. I didn't understand that one either. Okay.
I didn't understand it either.
Let's go to Chris. Good morning, Chris. Let's do this. All right.
You ready? All right, here we go.
She's an arsonist in her pastime, and I've been burned for the last time. Time, 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 whoa. And I've been burned for the last time. Time, time, whoa. And I've been burned for the last
burned
time.
For the last time.
Come
okay.
on, Chris.
All right, we got it. Chris.
That's how it's done, Kevin.
Right?
Is that She's Kerosene Interrupters?
Hey! Look at that. Omar, if you could just back up from the microphone just a little.
Okay.
Maybe it wouldn't distort and destroy our listeners' ears.
Was Chris whispering because he was embarrassed to be on the phone with us? Or do you think he was in a work situation?
No, he was probably embarrassed.
All right. Well, we got Jordan, Ramon, and Chris all on the drawing. Let's see if we can add Ken to the list from Encino. Ken, you ready to play some Omaroki?
Let's do it.
Good luck.
What do you want from me? What? Wait.
Start over. Start over.
What do you...
Allie, stop looking at me.
I mean, you're home.
All right, here we go, here we go.
What do you want from me? Why don't you run from me? What are you wondering? What do you know? Why are you scared of me? Why do you care for me? When we all fall asleep, where do we go?
Oh, my God.
So creepy.
Ken. All right, Ken, what do you got?
I got nothing.
Oh. It actually was pretty good.
That wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad, yeah.
Yeah, that was Billie Eilish, Bury a Friend.
What do you want from me? Why don't you run from me?
Thank you.
I mean, she's no Omar.
No.
Yeah, of course.
Let's do ridiculous. One more, only because I'm dying to hear Omar sing this next song.
Okay, let's go to Jan in Redondo Beach. Good morning, Jan.
It's Ian.
Good morning, Ian. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning.
Ian, can you move away from the ocean?
Can you get your head into the car out of the window?
All right, you ready for some Omaroki?
Okay.
All
right, you ready?
All right, here we go.
Okay, good luck.
Contaré la historia de una famosa persona. Todos la conocen con la apodo de la chona. Todos la conocen con la apodo de la chona. Si su marido no se quede con ella, Dario va a los bailes y se compra una botella. Dario va a los bailes y se compra una botella.
All right, so that happened.
That was the thing.
There, Ian / Jan.
That was sure. I got nothing.
You got nothing. That apparently
not
was
brown.
Los Tucanes de Tijuana and the big smash hit La Chona.
That's a jam. That's a bop.
Omar's been doing a lot of weddings, apparently.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, Ramon, and Jordan. Those are our three contestants,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Somebody is going to Coachella next. What?
The winner is Ramon.
He's coming bean right off.
Just trying to give the prizes, but okay. In a hurry.
We can't understand a word you're saying, Ramon, but congratulations, enjoy the show, and thanks for playing the game.
Oh, Maroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Our friend RJ Bell, pregame.com, Las Vegas, joins us to talk about the NCAA tournament this weekend coming up just after 8. And then Matt Walsh.
Veep.
Yes, from Veep. Allie is going to be joining us in studio talking about the final season of Veep on HBO. Time now for What's Happening. Here's Allie.
And this is the special What's Happening that we do on Fridays, where we talk about our That's My Jam playlist, where every member of the Kevin and Bean Show picks a song, might be something nobody's ever heard, might be something brand new, might be something that came up on one of our playlists that we're like, remember that song? That was wonderful. So we all pick a song, we put it on the playlist. You can follow along, just click follow. It's our playlist at My Jam. You can find us at Kevin and Bean, Instagram, Facebook.
Getting a lot of
Twitter.
Very good feedback from listeners, by the way, who have taken the playlist on a plane or on a run or something like that, or just, you know, doing housework or whatever and really enjoying it, which makes me feel good.
I'm getting a lot of surprise, like, hey, that was a pretty good song. I wasn't expecting that
nice
from you.
Nice pick, Kevin. Exactly. But you can follow along, and you're going to have brand new music every single week from the members of the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin, you are up first with your pick.
Mine is a rapper from Minnesota, who released a song that I wasn't aware of in late January this year. You may know him from his song Rockstar, but he released a song in January called Monster Under My Bed, and this is the song.
Monster, monster under my bed, come out and play, cause I need a friend. You're so damn close that I feel your breath, you're the only one I have left. Feel you in my bones, shiver on my spine, you're a master of disguise, you show up when no one's home. Are you really just a lie? I can feel you in my mind and my soul, but I love when you jump in and help me feel something. My blankets are the door, my bed is the coffin, and just as it closes and I go to lock it, I sing that lullaby you taught me.
You want to shout out that artist's name?
Oh, did I not say Call Me Charisma?
No.
No. Call Me Charisma is the name of the rapper.
Okay. I like it.
Monster Under My Bed.
Yes.
I think I've told you guys before that I thought the Incredible Hulk lived under my bed.
Mm-hmm.
And his green arm would come out and try and grab me and take me under. So I would jump from the middle of my room into my bed.
How old were you?
17, 18. Yeah, it was weird.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
Apologies. Bean, you're up next.
I have a kind of a sad That's My Jam pick this week. This is an up-and-coming Liverpool indie rock band. They kind of do a lo-fi bedroom pop thing, they call them. The band was called Hers, H-E-R apostrophe S. They were really starting to make some inroads. They released their first album in August. They were on their second U.S. tour, and they were driving from Phoenix, Arizona, where they had played a show, to Southern California to do a show just a week ago in Santa Ana when some a-hole was driving on the wrong side of the road on Interstate 10, collided with their tour bus, and killed them all. So the band Hers is no more, I'm sorry to say. And like I mentioned, it's really sad because they were really starting to come on. People were really starting to take notice of them and like them a lot. So no more Hers, but they did leave behind some great music, an album and a couple of EPs. And this song is called Harvey. They were just fun. They were really fun. It was real, real sad to hear because you think about all the K-Rock bands throughout the years who have made that same trip thousands of times. That's just what you do as a touring musician. It's just wrong place, wrong time. So real sad.
Yeah, well, let's keep the good times rolling.
Jensen, you're up next.
Well, I selected Nipsey Hussle. Very sad.
I didn't get the memo.
Yeah, very sad
week. I mean, I did Rankin Roger last week, so yeah, all right. We're all doing very sad things.
Everyone knows the story, and there's been a huge focus on sort of his charitable work. But we should focus on just him being a great rapper. His album, Victory Lap, was nominated for a Grammy last year, and he was a top five West Coast active rapper, absolutely for sure. This song is Nipsey Hussle featuring YG, Last Time That I Checked. Hey, y'all, boss claims it gotta be fraud. Just keep the hood about your mouth and you gotta be charged. I doubled up, tripled up, what? Banged on the whole game, I ain't give a f***. Nobody tripping, had no business, got my digits up. And when I drop, you know I'm about to last time it up. Check. It was five chains on my neck. It was no smut on my rep last time that I checked. That's a good song.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace.
Another sad thing.
Yeah. You have a live person?
Yes. As far as I know, I'm not going to lie to you. I had never heard this band before, and it came up as one of the recommendations for me, like music for you. And I'm like, oh, whatever. It's never music for me. And I clicked on it, and I was like, well, aren't you delightful little comets? So I looked them up. They're an English indie rock trio. Their fifth album is available for pre-order right now. I couldn't find a ton of info on them other than that they're kind of like this almost guerrilla-style band where they'll just run into a subway, start playing, run into bakeries, start playing. They just released a song called American Tuna, and I guess guerrilla-style video is what they just shot. So they posted that. But I'll tell you another reason why I picked it. I was scrolling their Twitter, and they said, Fleabag is an incredible watch if you can spare the time. And I'm like, yes, it is. It's one of my favorite shows. So little comments. I enjoy you. I love your sound. This is a wonderful song called Alive at All. Milk every minute they give to you. Oh, that's what. Wine is the one, and I know it's her. You say it isn't sure. Make all the difference inside. It's the reason I'm alive at all. I'm alive at all. It's the reason I'm alive. Well, damn, little comets, you are a GD delight.
A lot of variety in the picks this week.
Absolutely. So, little comments, if you could just send me like a bio or anything, that would be awesome. I could have done this a lot better, but you like Fleabag? That was enough for me. If you want to find our That's My Jam playlist, it's linked to all of our social media at Kevin and Bean on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. Just click that follow button. You're going to have about 5.5, maybe 6 hours of music on there. for you to listen to. As being said, while you're on a plane, or what was it, cleaning your house?
Mm-hmm. Jogging.
Jogging.
Jogging, yeah, working out, whatever.
A lot of things.
It fits for everything, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Doing it, right? Getting in the mood.
Nope. Which are those songs?
That's a great point.
A lot of dead artists this week, too.
Yeah, Monster Under My Bed. You could bone to that for sure. All right, listen, that's not the point. Let's talk about some birthdays. Colin Powell, Mitch Pileggi, Haley Atwell, Lily James, Paula Cole, Pharrell Williams, Sterling K. Brown, and from the WWE, Charlotte Flair. Woo! And that.
Actor Matt Walsh from Veep. He's going to be joining us in studio coming up in about 50
that sound
minutes
hurts
or so on the Kevin and Bean
Man,
show.
Man, that's painful.
Somebody stepped on Allie as she was talking or something. First, though, let's make you some money, you guys. RJ Bell is here. Hit it, Steve.
Because he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ
RJ is, of course, not only the most handsome man in Las Vegas, he is the founder of pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press, and the co-host of the number one national sports betting radio show, Straight Out of Vegas with RJ Bell. RJ, what's Vegas been like with, I imagine, millions of people from around the world in town for all these basketball games?
Yeah, and especially the first week. I mean, that first week, think about it. Thursday night or Thursday morning, it begins at 9 a.m. Pacific. Goes 12-plus hours.
Yeah, it's the best. Now,
listen, you guys remember your youth. Think back. If you were 25, 28, what do you do at that point? You try to go clubbing, a little bit of drinking. All right, now you sleep from what? Now, this is Thursday night now. You sleep from, let's call it 1:30 to like 6:15.
3 to 5.
You get up. You get up and do it again, 12 more hours. Hey, it's Friday night. What are you going to do? Go to bed? And, I mean, literally, it is like, I'm a huge Dylan fan. It's like the line in Just Like the Tom Thumb Blues. They're looking like a ghost on Sunday. People's walking around zombie style come Sunday.
Very topical.
I applaud the reference, by the way.
Some things are historically transcendent, all right? I mean,
what has been your biggest surprise of the tournament so far? Did you, for instance, did you expect Duke, the favorite, when we started this whole nonsense, to be in the Final Four?
You know what? I wonder if she would, if someone quoted the Bible, would you harass them also?
Allie just likes to harass Allie. You.
Yeah,
in
I like
person.
To harass
just
you.
Just in general. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. I'll take it. Yeah. You know, Duke, at earlier this season, was the second biggest favorite of the decade, meaning at that point of the year, they were a big favorite. The only one team in the prior decade had ever been that big of a favorite that time of the year. It was that Kentucky undefeated team that ended up not winning it either. So to have the second biggest favorite of the decade not even make the Final Four is a big surprise, no doubt about it. But Zion is a phenomenon, though, and at the NBA level, he'll be one of the 10 most interesting NBA players day one.
I would like to say, though, that no team got luckier than Duke. I mean, they should have been beaten maybe 3 times in this tournament.
You're right, and here's the thing. It's more about, you know, I know you guys are NBA fans, the Lakers, the Clippers. Is Golden State has changed basketball. The way that it's not only how many threes they shoot, but the way that they move the ball on offense and how important it is to shoot from the outside.
Yeah, agreed.
And Duke didn't have that. Duke might have been the best team ever per the 1985 rules. Three-point shooting, I think this Duke team wins this tournament easy. Like, if you would redo this tournament with no three-pointers, I think Duke's the biggest favorite you're ever going to see. It's just they are like an old-school team, or at least they were, in a modern era that emphasizes threes.
That's interesting. All right, so we got Michigan State versus Texas Tech and Virginia versus Auburn. Now, how do we want to play this? Because we not only want to advise the listeners so that they can make some money on it, but we also need to keep an eye on the Kevin and Bean office pool. So who are we all rooting for via the office pool for this weekend?
Doesn't matter.
Listen, just for my sense on Twitter, is I think about 90% of the listeners are rooting for me. It's an unofficial, unscientific sense.
Wow.
And now, from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I have Michigan State winning it all.
Yeah, so if Michigan State wins the next 2 games,
yes,
you win the bracket.
Okay, and then if Michigan State loses,
then justice is served.
You win. Okay. And I win. Okay, but then if Michigan State wins this weekend but loses in the final,
it's Stryker.
Stryker wins. Okay.
We can't have that.
It's A, B, or C.
All right.
And as I say, this is kind of like a wrestling thing. Justice will be served.
Okay. Who's your team, RJ? Who do you have to win it all?
Who do you have?
I can't make any more points because we actually have two of the final four teams. But I had Duke in the finals against Kentucky. So I'm leading right now, but I cannot get any more points.
I see.
That's why what we need is Michigan State to lose for justice to be served.
Wow.
A lot of justice talk.
How does Michigan State stack up against Texas Tech?
Unfortunately favored by 2.5 points, so a small favor. Here's the thing. The Final Four is unlike anything else. And you guys, and I say this sometimes with a wink, but I mean it genuinely, you guys have risen up through the ranks to the highest level of radio. Right?
Sure.
So think about the different stages of your career. There was something new. You know, I know Adam Kroll is a friend of the show.
Yep.
I'm on his podcast every week during football season, and we were talking once about he was introducing someone at a Kevin and Bean event, and it was like some huge deal to him. Like, we all have those times where it's like, this is another level you've never been at. Well, what happens? You get nervous, right? It's natural. Well, Final Four is unlike anything these players have ever played, these coaches have ever coached. Michigan State has Tom Izzo, who is his eighth Final Four. The other three coaches, zero Final Fours amongst all three.
Oh.
So Izzo has a big advantage with experience, which I think matters a lot.
And Allie, you picked Michigan State because?
I picked him at the very beginning to win it all because, A, I look great in green and white. Thank you. And also because I love when I'm watching and Tom Izzo, I always say, H to the Izzo, V to the Izzo. And I'm like, get your damn hands up. And it's just a little, I don't know, it's a JC thing.
And she might beat you.
It's amazing. That's why I didn't pick Michigan State.
Oh, very weird.
So Michigan State is favored, though, -2.5 over Texas Tech, according to pregame.com, right?
Yes, and that's the consensus line out there. And by the way, guys, this, if you ever, and I say this sincerely, you know, there's all the stories about, and I hope Allie thinks this is topical enough, Springsteen got turned down by like 27 record companies or whatever.
Right.
This Beard, Coach Beard's his name. He literally 5 years ago was in his 40s, and he was coaching at a place called San Angelo College, right? Which is a little college in San Antonio. The idea that he had went from place to place to place, he had coached in like 10 or 12 different places. Imagine moving your family and your kids 10 or 12 times. Now you're moving towards 50. And you are at, let's say, a Division II level, making $70,000 a year. Hey, $70,000 is not a bad living, but I mean, it means you haven't achieved your goal.
Right.
But still, you're dreaming. And the idea that 5 years later, he's the coach of the year, Beard, he's in the Final Four, and he's making over $3 million a year. It really is perseverance. It's a great story if you look into it.
And I'm sorry, who's he coaching?
Texas Tech.
Texas
so
Tech. Okay.
That's the team
amazing.
That's going to beat Michigan State.
I got you.
So okay. Justice yeah. is served.
I got you.
I'm not going to lie, RJ. I saw a video that was floating around of them in a meeting, the coach and the team. And he surprised one of his players that's from Italy by flying his family in to see him play.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And it brought me to tears, and I thought it was really beautiful. Forgot what that team was. It was Texas Tech, and now I'm mad. Now I'm very
now mad
because this coach is a great man.
All right, let's move on to the other game. Virginia has been pretty dominant this tournament, is my feeling, and they are favored over Auburn for the other Saturday game.
Remember, Virginia was the only number one seed ever to lose last year. They lost, first time in the history of the tournament. And this year, they were number one seed and were losing at halftime. But they've really come back since. Here's the catch-22 with Virginia. Virginia has a type. You know what it's like? You know those, and let's use musicians for an example. There's certain musicians. I would put the Eagles in here. Again, let's stay in the 70s. We don't want to move forward too much. Is they're consistent. If they put out an album, it was going to not be bad, right?
Right.
Then you have other guys who you could say, or gals, that if they hit the highest high level, they were the best ever, but they could hit some lows, right? There's more range. Virginia's like one of those teams during the regular season that never had a bad game. They always tried hard. hard. They were always disciplined. They were always prepared, right? But usually teams like that don't have a high ceiling. They don't have a next gear to go to. So historically, Virginia has underperformed in the postseason. They've overperformed during the regular season. But boy, oh boy, they're the last and only number one seed left, and they're favored by 5.5 over Auburn. And oh, by the way, I have a conspiracy theory against Auburn. You want to hear this one?
Yes.
We're tight on the clock, but if you can do it in like 30 seconds.
Yeah. Here it is. The FBI, the feds, have a huge investigation against Auburn. It is a gigantic black eye against the NCAA. They made it so difficult for Auburn to make it here. They had to beat Kansas, North Carolina, and Kentucky. I don't think the NCAA wants Auburn to win, and I think anything they can do to hurt them on Saturday, they're going to do it because they don't want that story in the news.
They need to get that umpire from the Astros game the other day to call this game, and then they'll take care of it. All right, so here's the official line from Vegas then is Michigan State minus 2.5 over Texas Tech and Virginia minus 5.5 over Auburn. And then, of course, the championship game is going to be on Monday night. RJ Bell's Dream Preview podcast is available on iTunes, by the way. Pregame.com is the site for the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press. And don't forget the Straight Out of Vegas with RJ Bell on Fox Sports Radio radio show weekdays from 3 till 4. RJ, fingers crossed, Allie wins this pool, man, because I don't think I can take you feeling better than you already feel.
No justice, no peace.
We'll talk again soon, so thanks for the call. Because he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell. Right. Matt Walsh, why couldn't you keep Veep on the air forever? That's what your job is. How can you let this show go away?
I don't own it.
What?
It's not my show.
Get out.
I'm just a
servant. I thought you owned it.
No, I'm just I'm a sixth man off the bench. I'm shooting.
You're not even in the starting five?
I use all five fouls. Okay. They bring me out. Go use five. Go hack. Go shack a hack attack.
Matt Walsh, of course, is best known as Mike McClintock on the HBO's Veep, celebrating its final season. It's season number 7. It airs Sunday nights at 10:30 on HBO. But he's a face you would recognize for decades of great work. Every movie that you're in. I'm just going to say this. You make better, Matt Walsh.
I'm guaranteed box office. I'm like Tom Hanks.
Even movies Hanks, you have no business
$2
being
dollars
like Widows.
Running.
You know, you make better somehow.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, Widows to me was an offer to do a scene or two with Viola Davis, which was like, yes, I'll do that. But it is strange to step into like a hardcore drama.
Yeah.
And also to do a film in Chicago. I'm from Chicago. I never got to make a movie in Chicago. So I'm like,
is that right?
Yeah. Got to hang out with Mom and it was lovely.
Huh.
Yeah. So there's that.
You say that as if you've been so big and so popular for so long that you've ignored your mother and you only saw her because it was convenient for you because you were filming in Chicago.
Bean's reading between the lines now. Is that true, sir?
We have a great relationship. Okay. We play Words with Friends and we text through that app all the time.
Lovely.
And I call her at least 2 times a week. And there's other siblings in Chicago that really take care of Mom. So I'm good with Mom. And I get back like twice a year.
Okay.
For sure, Thanksgiving, and then once in the
you
summer.
You sound really defensive.
Yeah, it sounds like a guy who hasn't talked to his mother in years.
He's reading his whole resume, how many different times he goes to Chicago.
I don't want any fake news about my mom out there.
I'm going to need to see
the real deal
those plane
from the
ticket receipts,
mouth.
Matt Walsh hates his
you
mother.
You want to see my receipts?
I do. I want to see your receipts for those alleged plane tickets.
I don't keep receipts. I don't keep receipts.
How does your mom feel about the language on Veep?
She's reluctantly a fan. She doesn't like most of the stuff I do. But
is
she is
right?
reluctant. Yeah, she. Her favorite sort of entertainment would be a British person solving a crime.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? And if BBC made it, even better. So that's right in her wheelhouse.
Sherlock is her thing.
Sherlock.
Yeah.
But
Grantchester,
all the, like, older,
Endeavor,
usually an older woman at the center of it, too.
Okay,
like Judy Dench being a detective.
Sure.
Oh, my God.
Huge.
She's going to stay inside for 2 weeks.
so that is
her wheelhouse.
How does she respond to you when you do stuff that you know is going to sort of rub her the wrong way?
Well, if it's a good show, I'll tell her to watch it. And if I know she's not going to like it, I'll say, you don't have to watch it.
But isn't this a great show?
This is a great show.
That maybe she wouldn't always like?
She does like it.
Okay.
She does like it. She absolutely likes it. And she likes that her son's a little famous. I think, you know, she has something to tell her friends at the condo.
Now, this season, Matt McClintock, who was formerly the White House press secretary, is that right?
Yeah? Correct.
Okay. is on the outside. He's now working for BuzzFeed. So
wearing a lot of denim.
Which gets a laugh.
Wearing a lot of denim and a beard.
Yeah.
It's so brilliant how they are able to move all the pieces around on that show, like putting Jonah up in New Hampshire, yet still keeping him as a member of the main crew. You know, they do such a great job of keeping everybody's storyline in play, even though they're moving you all over the country sometimes.
Yeah, that is one of the beautiful things of Veep, the evolution of it all. Like the first season, I think we were all just sort of surfing in Selena's wake, following her through hallways. And then come season 7, Jonah's like a crazy presidential candidate. Mike's working for BuzzFeed.
I've never
Richard
seen
Richard is managing 2 campaigns. Like it's crazy. And there's a baby. Like yes. It is like The Simpsons. We sort of joke because one thing this year, a lot of people that you've seen over the years do a little drive-by and come through.
Sure.
So there is such a full world and
these
characters.
I've never seen
a show with so many characters that they don't throw any of them away.
Mm-mm.
Everybody has something to add, and it's an amazing
thing. They're
like
comedy hoarders, those writers. Yes. They do. They remember jokes. Like sometimes an episode will happen, like, oh, what was that joke from season 5 that we never used? They do collect.
Wow.
They do collect, yeah.
Now, I had heard this, which I thought, well, that is interesting, that obviously everything is very scripted, amazing writers, but you have about 2 weeks to rehearse for a show?
You know, it's not as exact as that. Like, basically, the process now is they write forever.
Mm-hmm.
We do a table draft or table read of a script or two. And then if there's a scene that's problematic, we might rehearse it that day, put it on its feet or go into the studio on set and sort of feel it out. And then the writers will pay attention and take notes and then rewrite off of that. And then on the day, we'll actually rehearse it. And the thing about Veep is you never really memorize your lines. You just sort of look at them the night before because you know going in there'll be a brand new script.
Really?
They've scrapped it. Unless you have a giant monologue you don't want to be caught like, oh, God, I'm really not off book. But generally, you just sort of ready, and they hand it to you literally when you're walking on set. And you're like, or in the morning in the chair, and they're like, okay. And then you rehearse it. So there is a looseness to the process, but it is completely written.
Yeah.
That's crazy, though, because it's wordy.
Like it is
getting
very
right before, that's not a chill script.
But usually it's not whole cloth. Sometimes it is 100%, but you get time to rehearse it, and you get time to, like, you know, pitch ideas inside that story or use things in the room. It's like very fluid is the best way I would describe it.
Have you ever worked on anything quite like this?
No, not really.
No.
I don't think there is anything else quite like this.
No. I did a thesis in college about the game Perfection, which was very difficult.
Okay. And you're comparing the two?
I just came to mind.
They're relatively equal?
I just came to mind.
All right,
it was men versus women doing a trial with shapes and sizes in 60 seconds.
And you're saying
I discovered women learn to learn better than men. So the initial
trial... That's a given. What's wrong with you?
Oh, but it was scientifically proven.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But it wasn't like Veep, so it's a tangent.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right.
Veep adjacent.
Did you graduate with that thesis? It was accepted, and you got a grade on it?
The statistic analysis was horse crap, but because I'm not good at math, but the professor gave me a B. Yeah, so
okay,
I did graduate.
Fair enough.
So
psychology
I have a Bachelor
grad,
of Arts.
Yeah, psychology.
Bachelor
right.
of Arts, not science,
mm-hmm.
in
sure.
psychology. Yeah.
Matt Walsh is here from Veep, which airs Sunday nights at 10:30 on HBO. We have many more questions for you, Matt,
okay,
about your wonderful career, and I apologize that it's been 5 years since you've been on the show.
I know.
On this
it
show.
Freaked me out.
That's just
I blame us for that.
That's very upsetting because you're absolutely one of our favorites. Quick
My email is the same, guys.
Right after this on K-Rock.
It's a little insulting.
Matt Walsh is a very fine actor and has been very funny in a lot of things for a long time. He, of course, now is Mike McClintock on Veep. It's final season on HBO right now, Sunday nights at 10:30. I know him best from Man in Baseball Uniform in Fatty Drives the Bus from 1999.
You son of a biscuit. You're going through my IMDb. That's an old trick.
You were in Fatty Drives the Bus?
You weren't fatty, were you? No, I wasn't. I was in a theater group in Chicago called the Annoyance Theater, mm-hmm. and somebody gave us $1 million, and we made a movie.
All right.
So this is one of the first movies I ever did.
Oh, congratulations.
So, yes.
I'd be in a movie, Fatty Drives the Bus, in a second.
Yeah.
Great. All right, so let's talk about it. Was there a, God bless Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who's one of the most celebrated actresses in history. What has she won, like? 8 Emmys or something. She's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Was there a time when you guys thought maybe this final season wouldn't happen because of her health concerns?
Yeah, I think everything was legit on hold because nobody knew what was going on with her health. So, yeah, I think we were called
Right before the Emmys 2 years ago, Julia called me and all of us individually and said, you know, we're not going to continue after season 7. And it was a bummer. And they talked about why. And it was just like sort of like we ran out of runway. It's like this is a perfect time. You always want to leave when people want more. Great. Mm-hmm. And then after the Emmys, we found out like 3 days later that another drop was her cancer.
Yeah.
And so after that, we tried to do a couple table – my timeline might be off, but we tried to do a couple table reads as business as usual. But once she got into her treatments, it was just like, all right, we're just going to freeze everything.
Hands off.
It's pretty
brutal. That must have been so devastating for all of you who love her so much.
Sure, sure. But she is a force of nature.
Yeah.
And you always knew, like, if anybody's going to beat it, she's the one.
Yeah.
And she did it, you know. She has a loving family and a great group of inner circle in her life. And
what was it like when she came back to the show? Like, it just must have been a special day.
It's like mom feels better. It was like literally an emotional moment. I think Dave Mandel, our writer, made a dumb joke about other things going on in the world and ignoring Julia at the table. Like, trying to think, he's like, something I wanted to say. Anyways, and then Julia gave a very heartfelt speech basically saying, like, it's nice to have this, and this is helpful for me to come back. And
that's sweet. A behind-the-scenes video of her doing her last scene and the group of people that had assembled, husbands, wives, kids of writers, of actors, everyone in this other area watching on the monitors, just with their breaths like being held, just waiting for this last scene, which speaks to what a family you all have become.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. Like the last week, like I was the first of like the core 10 actors to wrap. So like Reed came back from home and Tim came back and Reed's wife and people were there. And so it was like a big moment when I got wrapped. And then
why couldn't
next
they wait
day,
to get rid of Mike McClintock? Is my question.
He's been fired.
Right, he's
so
got to go first.
He's like a cockroach. You can't kill him. He'll always come back. And then over the next 8 days, somebody would get wrapped every day, and everybody
people
was there every
back
day, and so it was very sweet. So Julia was the last person wrapped. So everybody had been there, and we were all watching, and it was very, very momentous. Popped some champagne, drank tequila in the writer's room, and
I know
was hungover
that
the next day.
I know that these are fictional characters, but I can't help but worry what's going to happen to Gary if he doesn't have someone to take care of. I mean, where is he in
life,
5 years?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He has an unhealthy symbiosis. He's like that fish that swims by the whale.
Yes,
the pilot
exactly.
Fish
too
whatever.
Close.
Yeah.
A little too close.
Yeah.
For his own safety.
Every character Tony Hale plays, I feel bad for when the show or movie ends.
Right.
What's going to happen to that guy?
You know, Tim Simons brought up a great thing. Like 3 years ago when he was on.
Good
and
memory.
We were thank you. When we were talking about how much we love Veep, and he plays, of course, Jonah Ryan on the show, I said, there are times when I'll watch the show a second time because I've missed stuff. And he said, may I suggest something? And I said, yes, please. And he said, do a Tony Hale lap. And I said, what's a Tony Hale lap? And he said, watch it a second time, but focus only on Tony. And you will see all sorts of different things.
Oh, his
and
own, like,
so
Easter egg.
He's in his own show. It's amazing.
He's doing so much, you don't realize.
Yeah, just his face, just a movement, everything.
That is good.
Grabbing a purse. It's just, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, the choreography, they're really tight. And those are nuggets that we discover on set. Again, when we rehearsed, Tony and Julia be like, oh, this would be a funny thing while she's saying this or he's doing that. So there's all those little moments that we're always trying to find.
Does he break most?
Tony breaks most.
Yeah, that's what we've heard. Yeah. How do you do? How do you do, Matt?
I'm pretty stone-faced.
Really?
I don't tend to crack up. The one time we were in England and we broke an antique china set. I remember that. And we were laughing and Julia was on set. Like, turn around, you idiots. It's good. So we're like delivering lines with our back to camera. And we actually got to use some of it because Julia had the wherewithal to shout at us.
Can I give an underrated recommendation from his career? Brigsby Bear.
Oh, amazing.
One of the greatest movies of the past 5 to 10 years.
That's so sweet.
It's
I love that
lovely
movie.
So great. And if you haven't seen it.
I haven't.
I know a lot of people haven't. They just missed it because it really was written so genuinely and heartfelt.
Yeah.
Kyle Mooney's the lead in it from SNL, who you know, and you play a father in it, and it's so great. And if anyone is looking for a weekend watch, Brigsby
Great Bear. Recommend. It's a very sweet film. I agree with you. Yeah. I love that movie.
May I make a recommendation of the great Matt Walsh?
Please.
Oh, my God. You guys, I'm coming back.
Fatty,
this
in, the,
is so
fatty
good.
In the car?
It is Fatty Drives the Bus.
In 5 years.
It is Fatty Drives the Bus, and Matt plays Manny. Baseball uniform. That's the one you want to see. Real quick before we do 60 seconds with Matt Walsh, Veep is a show that's going to live forever, right? In terms of this is going to be like the West Wing. This is going to be a show that generations will discover.
I hope so, yeah.
I really do feel like that. It's one of the landmark shows in the history of television, and I can't imagine what a thrill it must have been for you the last 7 years as an actor.
Yeah.
You know what I discovered is that can we quote you on that?
We always focus on how do you parody what's going on in real life right now. That's sort of what everybody talks about. Yeah. But the difference is everyone on your show is a bad person.
Yes.
And they're funny as hell and you love them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though they're bad people. And it makes you laugh.
Yeah, and I think the other cool thing about Veep is that it is truly pure fiction. Like, you can see the timeline. Like, I think Reagan is maybe the latest president we reference,
mm-hmm.
and then the real timeline veers.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's what I love about Veep is that you don't know where party. It's hopefully hitting the greater truths about all politicians, how they're all full of it.
I mean, it could be just office politics, too.
It is workplace comedy. Yeah. It's absolutely workplace comedy, but they were obsessed and continually obsessed with, like, how screwed up politics is. And every season they have tons of people come through and they interview them and they want to know the dirt. You know, they want to know the nitty gritty. They interview the aides and the interns as well as the people who run the show. And the speechwriters, and they really get the gritty details, and that's what. But they funnel it into a pure fiction. Mm-hmm. That's why amazing. I think.
I hope it's pure fiction, cool. Matt.
Well,
I hope it's pure fiction because it's terrifying.
I know it's a sobering documentary.
Sunday nights at 10:30 on HBO for Veep, and you can catch up obviously on previous seasons if you're a lame-o and haven't been watching. All right, Matt Walsh, you're known as a great improviser, obviously co-founder of the Upright Citizens Brigade. We have 60 seconds worth of questions. Kevin's just going to fire them at you as fast as he can. Answer as many as you can. First thing that comes to your mind. You ready?
What do I win?
No one's ever asked that.
Yeah, you come back in 5 years.
I'm greedy. Oh, I get. Yeah. How about 4 years?
How about 4 years? Okay.
If I win, I come back in 4.
It's not five. Yeah.
60
not
seconds five. With Matt Walsh. What did you want to be when you were a kid?
Astronaut.
What's the worst job you ever had?
I counted tractor parts at an Aulis Chalmers factory.
How long did you have that job?
One day I was fired.
A few questions from topics we've talked about recently on the show. Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
No, my wife loves it. Hate it.
When you get dressed in the morning and you're putting on shoes, are you a sock guy? A sock shoe guy?
Sock.
Not sock shoe, sock shoe. Okay.
Both socks before shoes.
Have you ever taken a picture of yourself in front of a famous TV or movie location?
No. Oh, yes. Blues Brothers, the club where they go into to see Otis Day.
Mm. Twizzlers or Red Vines?
Red Vine.
If you could change one thing about your appearance, what would it be?
Less handsome.
We think Veep is one of the best comedies of all time. What are some of your favorite TV comedies?
Green Acres.
Green Acres, ladies and gentlemen. And
honestly, Green Acres
classic
wins.
Answer, we're going to go three years.
Nice.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54. We have more Coachella tickets that you can win coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Weekend one sold out passes for next Friday. Plus, it's going to be time to keep it 100 right after that. We're looking for you to text us at 1-800-520-1067. Any K-Rock song you've ever heard, if we've got it and your text are 100, we'll play it for you. Here's some of the selections you've chosen recently.
Sell out with me, oh yeah. Check it out. I'd like to make myself a
some fine choices in Owl City.
Oh. Right.
I'm voting for Owl City again today.
No, sir.
Come on, Owl City.
No,
sir. Let's
do
it. 1-800-520-1067. Text right now. We'll play your song for Keep It 100 coming up after the top of the hour. Allie's here now. Time for a Fri-yay. What's happening?
First of all, it's day.
Why do you keep doing that?
Damn it, Bean. Take it back.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. Remember yesterday when I brought you the story from the Daily Mail doing a story with Sugar Ray frontman Mark McGrath?
Yes.
Talking about how he can't hear anymore. Real scary because he's, you know, a musician. Sure. You kind of want to be able to hear your music.
Well, as a human, I think you want to be able to hear.
No, but mostly if you're in Sugar Ray, for sure. After receiving a bunch of messages from concerned fans, Mark McGrath tweeted that the report was misleading.
Oh.
Oh,
good.
Okay. All right.
That's great.
So he said, though it's true I've lost some hearing in one ear, a common occurrence in this profession, this headline is entirely misleading and taken way out of context. Fortunately, or unfortunately to some, I look forward to performing for many years to come. Thanks for the concern.
That's great.
So that's wonderful. And a fan who is deaf himself sent suggestions for different hearing aids. And he said, fortunately, I only have very mild loss in ear. So I must be more attentive than when I was younger. But your attitude is very inspiring. So how lovely, though. People reaching out that are like, here's what I use. This could help you. And
yeah, that's
like,
good news.
I'm doing good. I'll be on tour forever.
Mark has my favorite quote about music ever, where he said, someone asked him if Sugar Ray still performs, and he goes, if you can smell a churro, we're performing.
That's amazing. I respect it. So, you guys, Mick Jagger has completed his heart valve procedure in New York and is recovering and apparently in great health. Here's the thing. They were able to access his heart valve through his femoral artery and are now monitoring him for any complications. So he didn't have to be cut open.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
That's amazing.
Yes.
These guys are a miracle.
That's the hope,
seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously. Absolutely. So while recovery time for the procedure is a lot shorter than a surgery, he needs to rest for 4 to 5 days so the artery can heal itself without any bleeding issues. And then he can be up and moving in a few days, but some additional recovery time before the return to the stage, which is good. So the Stones are expected to make up nearly all of the dates on their No Filter tour, but of course not doing the Jazz Fest in New Orleans as previously planned. Bean, did you hear who they got to fill in?
Smash Mouth.
No. Oh. But I love that.
I did hear it was Fleetwood Mac, which I think people were very excited about.
Absolutely. When you have bought a ticket and you're looking forward to something so much, mm-hmm. as, you know, not only Jazz Fest, which is amazing, but having the Stones be the headliner and then you find out they can't play, that's a real blow. Mm-hmm. I think Fleetwood Mac is a great, like, that's a great alternative.
Yeah, eases some of the pain a little bit.
Absolutely.
I hope that if Mick Jagger, I know he shouldn't tour right now, but I hope he gets back to working on this new album that they've been working on. It's been
right?
so
Let's get
slow.
Back to work, for God's sakes. What's
no,
he been
I'm
doing?
I'm saying that's something
He's
he can
800.
Do. I know, but that's something he can do. He can work in the studio and sing and play guitar without blowing out his heart, is what I'm saying. It's not the
I
same
can
as being
a... walk. I can't hold a walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
Maybe give him a little
yeah,
break.
That there was he is right there.
Right after the procedure, that was his...
Just look, some downtime.
I don't know how many albums the Rolling Stones have left in them, so I would like them to not waste any time. It's like waiting for George R.R. Martin to finish the Game of Thrones books. Like, you shouldn't be doing anything else but writing, okay?
Ben, this just in... They don't need to put out another album. They can play for 6 hours straight, and every single song is a hit. And if I'm honest, I don't know if I want to hear new Rolling Stones.
I do.
I think it might just make you go, maybe we could have left it back there.
Remember when they were good?
They're still good, by the way. Their last album was really good, and I want more.
Oh,
that's all
name
I'm saying.
Two songs.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying is my favorite from the record.
That is a good one. It's a bop, for sure. Well, not in the same realm as Mick Jagger. Ozzy Osbourne postponing all of his 2019 tour dates as he recovers from an injury sustained while dealing with his recent bout of pneumonia. He fell at his home in L.A., aggravating old injuries from a 2003 ATV accident.
What is he doing on an
what?
ATV?
That's a great question.
In 2003.
Is someone trying to kill him?
No.
Even in 2003.
2003, he was still...
No. He should not even be near a blender.
Good point.
That's awful.
Yeah, it's just bad. But the shows will be rescheduled beginning in February 2020. Here's the thing that made me laugh. Concert goers are asked to hold on to your original tickets. They're going to be honored for the rescheduled dates. Are you putting those on your fridge with a magnet? How are you going to keep those for a year?
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
Thanks, Bean. I don't know if you're being facetious.
No, I'm being absolutely serious. Yeah, what are the chances you're going to be able to put your hands on that ticket 18 months from now when that show comes back through your town?
Dear Diary, today Bean was nice, and I didn't accept it at first.
And also, let me just say, Sharon, your job is to bubble wrap Ozzy and make sure he doesn't fall.
I feel like she spends a lot of time doing that.
Not only that, she's a bit busy, you know, living her empire life. She's very busy. Maybe it's not always up to the woman to cater to the man that's falling down after pneumonia and then jacked up his thumb, ripping into something, then he's on ATVs. Maybe give her a break.
Okay, well, somebody's got to be watching after the Oz man. That's all I'm saying.
I feel like no one could control him. If he sees an ATV, he's on it. That's it. There's no choice.
He's essentially Kevin, is what we're saying, if you weren't picking that up. Happy birthday, Haley Atwell, Colin Powell, Mitch Pileggi, who I've been saying Pileggi all morning.
You have.
Have I really?
Yeah, every time.
At no point did you say, should we tell? You just thought every segment I'd fix it?
I mean, we assumed that you would.
I didn't.
Really help you.
Paula Cole. I've been saying Pharrell Williams, right? Not Farrell?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. That pig's trough at Farrell's,
oh,
though.
No.
I mean.
Let's not.
Oh, no.
Let's not go there again.
Sterling K. Brown and Charlotte Flair.
Every Friday at this time, we do a feature we call Keep It 100. Hit it, Steve.
I got to keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
Keeping it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
I'm going to keep it 100.
100. Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
This is where we let you be the music director of the world-famous K-Rock. You get to pick any K-Rock song. If we still have it in the system, we will play it for you. And we never know. Man, it's a crapshoot every week what we're going to get. Great suggestions this week. Dan was texter number 99 looking for Novocaine for the Soul by the Eels.
I like that song.
It's a great song. I love that. Fabian, texter 101 this week for the Cult, She Sells Sanctuary. Which is another great
strong
choice.
Too.
Yeah.
But neither of them are Tim from Thousand Oaks. He was Texter 100, and he joins us on the air right now. Hey, Tim, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Bean. Keith, Sally. How's it going?
How are you?
We're good.
Oh, well.
You're sounding mellow. Is everything all right?
You okay?
Also, did you call Kevin Keith?
Of course. That was his old name a long time ago.
None of us caught it. Only he caught it.
Wait, why were you Keith?
I don't have any idea what he's talking about.
Tim, why was he Keith?
I don't remember, but somebody used to call him Keith.
I mean, it only makes sense that a listener would remember a bit.
Absolutely. And neither of them
they
do.
They called Keith. Agreed. No,
yeah. Of course. Yes. So you have That's been funny. Listening for a long time, it sounds like, and we appreciate that. Have you also been texting previously for Keep It 100?
I have, since it started. This is a finally got through.
Same song or different songs?
Same song.
Wait, hold on a sec. You're telling me for like a year and a half you've been texting the same song every week?
Yeah, if I'm not, sometimes I travel out of town, but every Friday if I'm here, the same song.
I got to be honest, I didn't remember this song at all by name.
Stop judging him, Keith.
By name.
Yeah, Keith beat it. Let him maybe just announce the song.
Yeah, go ahead and introduce it, Tim, from Thousand Oaks to the Kevin and Bean listeners.
Well, you got to see the video because there's nothing that says Friday like having a woman slap you with a big giant lollipop, but it's Hobo Humpin' Slobo Babe by Whale.
100.
I just want to say,
yeah,
Hail Tim.
That
Tim 2020.
Tim has been requesting that song by Whale for a year and a half.
Yes.
Straight.
Yes.
He also has no social media and remembered you were named Keith. He's quite a beast.
I love it. Yes.
But who's the winner now? Who got his song on K-Rock for Keep It 100, right? All right. I think this is going to be a tough one for you, Allie, since you apparently have no memory of that song whatsoever. It won the MTV Europe Music Award for Best Video, by the way, the year after it came out.
Tim did say it was a great video.
Yeah, okay. Great video and a big hit here on K-Rock. It's not one you hear very often. The band is called Whale, and the song is called Hobo Humpin' Slobo Babe. Right. What year do you think it came out?
I'm not kidding when I say I have legitimately never heard that song in my life. Chip hasn't heard it. Jensen hasn't heard it.
All right, can I give you at least this hint to narrow it down for you?
Well, I would say if it was a big video back when videos were getting awards.
Good.
I would say that it would probably be 89.
Well, maybe you should have listened to my hint.
Damn
it would have helped you.
Yeah. What's your hint?
My hint was Kevin and I played it. We were on the air already when that song was out.
92.
Good, pretty close guess. 1993 is when that song came out.
Wow. That was pretty close.
You got it wrong on your second guess. That was great.
Thank you.
So, Tim in Thousand Oaks, no need to keep texting. That is asked and answered. We'll do it again next Friday for Keep It 100.
It's a shame there's no way to recap things that happened during the week.
Yeah, people miss a ton of stuff.
It is weird that we do so many things and then no one knows what happens at the end.
I know I barely listen.
It's Friday on a show and I'm nervous for you. So in case you missed it, here's the week in review. We gave out Coachella passes every single day and broke down the crazy antics of Nicolas Cage. And talked to white people who apparently will rage if Mexicans speak Spanish outside of a cage. I think I might be pregnant, so does Dr. Drew. Beer mugged it overnights and dude,
I love you.
Matt Walsh and Offspring came in to talk, and we each had a laugh about Ali's fart box. Also, she sneezed in the mic like an amateur while I'm in the back yelling out,
"Hello, Canada!"
RJ Bell might win our office pool, and my mom did dating game while she was in high school. Rest in peace, Nipsey, you left us too fast. If you missed that, download the podcast.
Excellent work, as always, Mr. Jensen Karp.
Thank you.
Podcast is available on iTunesRadio.com, wherever you get yours. You want to catch up on shows you missed. Hey, by the way, ahead of getting into the final What's Happening Here with Allie, I feel like we should just pause for a moment and take a beat because we've not mentioned that today is the 25th anniversary of the death of Kurt Cobain, who has to be on the Mount Rushmore of K-Rock musical artists, I would say.
Yeah, I would think so.
I think that is worth a mention. You'll never forget where you were, if you're old enough, when you found out that Kurt Cobain had passed away. And also, just as a side note, by just a bizarre coincidence, it's also the 17th anniversary of the death of Layne Staley from Alice in Chains, who was another great Seattle artist as well. So RIP to both of those guys. K-Rock wouldn't be what it is today without your bands. All right, Allie, you're up with our final look at what's happening here on a Friday.
Well, we are, of course... Thank you. Friday. God damn it.
Also, Kat is here.
We are joined by Kat Corbett, who comes in Friday around this time to tell us cool things happening in and around Los Angeles. But Kat, I'm glad you're here because I'm not sure if you heard about this Lil Nas X. Did you hear about his song that he labeled Country Trap?
Oh, wait, isn't this the one where Billy Ray Cyrus comes and does a little number?
Well, originally, his hit Old Town Road was... And when I say hit, it was racing up the Apple Music charts, Spotify charts. It was on Billboard's cross-genre Hot 100, Hot Country Songs, and Hot R&B hip-hop songs. And then Billboard's like, yeah, you know what? We're going to take it off the country charts last week. They said, upon further review, it was determined that Old Town Road by Lil Nas X does not currently merit inclusion on Billboard's country charts.
It sounds racist.
And that was a lot of people's response, that they thought, that's weird.
Did they just find out he was a black dude? Is that all that happened here? And they said no?
Don't know.
There's only been 4 African-American artists to ever top the country charts. Mm-hmm. They've now expelled 25% of them. So keep that in mind.
And Billy Ray's like a big figure
happened last week. So then Billy Ray Cyrus endorsed the song and said, real good job. Tweeted a message of support. And then last night we were bestowed the Old Town Road remix with Billy Ray Cyrus.
Hey,
dancing like a rock star. Spend a lot of money on my brand new guitar. Baby's got a habit, diamond rings and Fendi sports bras. Riding down Rodeo in my Maserati sports car. God knows stress, I've been through all that. I'm like a Marlboro man, so I kick on back. Wish I could roll on back to that old town.
Billboard do with that now?
No.
Billboard, if they're smart, will say still not country. Because if they do, they are gonna get
clearly
ruined.
saying we're racist. That's I have a good song. Say though,
I like that song too.
Before that, like before Billy Ray comes in, that's totally a country song.
Yes.
It's
absolutely.
The vibe of like it's the vibe of living country, taking my horse somewhere.
By the way, I think it's both.
Yeah, exactly. There's a banjo in it.
Country
music has been evolving as all music forms have, and you know this isn't unprecedented. Nelly was on a song with Tim McGraw a couple of years ago, for instance. That was a big hit. You know, a lot of like when Florida Georgia Line came out, there were a lot of people were saying, "You guys are just a pop act." I mean, the line always is moving, and if country audiences like this song, it ought to be on the radio and it ought to be on their charts.
Yeah, they ran into similar stuff with Beyonce when she was nominated for CMA. I mean, it's
oh for Daddy Lessons, right?
It's not a good look, guys. Not a good look. But there is a very, speaking of good looks, there's a very cool video of Billy Ray Cyrus and Lil Nas X in the studio together. Definitely looks like someone's dad showed up.
They got a lot in common, a lot to talk about, do they?
Yeah, I don't know. Clearly best friends.
I love it.
So funny. Do you remember when Florida Georgia Line came out and they're like, they're wearing baseball hats. This sucks. What's happening?
This isn't
like,
country.
What is happening? Well, then they suck, but I'm just saying.
I did think for a minute you were standing up for Florida
Georgia Line. No, just for their baseball hats. Okay. A split second.
All right.
Kat, I'm glad you're here.
Another one.
I brought this up earlier, and there was no one to share my excitement until Bean for a specific portion of the story. This holiday season, Hallmark is celebrating the Big 4-0. That's the number of new Christmas TV movies that you can expect in 2019.
Yay!
40. So here's the thing. Hallmark is going to debut 24 of those movies, while their sister channel, Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, will premiere the 16 others. This is up from 38 last year. They're making more movies every single year.
I'm so glad that you and I live close to each other.
Yes.
And there's like 50 stores to get wine at.
Absolutely.
On the way.
It's fantastic.
Who gives a damn?
We're in.
Well, here's who gives a damn. Bean, because the first of these movies is scheduled to debut in July, with the launch of Hallmark's Halfway to Christmas campaign.
We don't care. Dude, we don't care.
We do.
We don't care. Don't care, don't care, don't care. Oh, God, don't care, don't care.
Technically, June 25th is half Christmas, but I will accept July. That's soon. That's sooner than it has been, and I'm down for it.
Absolutely. Is it the Christmas Prince 2, 3, 4?
No, it's going to be called Keepsake Christmas. Thanks for asking.
Stop it.
This year marks the 10th anniversary of Hallmark Channel's Countdown to Christmas, which kicks off October 25th. And listen, last Christmas, they had an app, the Hallmark Channel.
No!
Where you could get notifications of what movies were coming up and then check them off as you watch them.
Nope.
And it was handy. And thank you, Hallmark Channel, for understanding
what we need
as a people.
Do they have the Hallmark Channel drinking game app? Because that's the one we really
like. When you see... Oh, sir.
I think he's made up his mind.
No, but this one, like you see cookies, you drink.
A Santa winks
and you... Wow, nice. We're on the same page.
Your loser dial is synced up.
Remember when we recorded a podcast?
Yeah, that's not ever going to be heard.
You're a loser.
You know nobody likes you, right?
Well, Kat likes me and I like Kat, so right
did
back
you watch
at you.
All of them last year, girls?
I watched all of the Hallmark Channel ones. I did not keep up with all of the...
Lifetime?
No. Their sister station, the Hallmark Murders and Mysteries, they do other movies on that.
4 minutes now on Christmas movies.
Yeah.
It's like a morphine
drip.
How about something
else? I
just leave it on.
Oh,
just goes in a roll.
Nobody gives a crap.
Hey, Kat. Thanks for...
Hurry up, Santa Claus.
Thanks for coming in. What do you have on tap in L.A.?
Don't ruin Christmas, you guys.
Yeah.
I have been directing people all week to go listen to your great interview with Noodles and Dexter from The Offspring talking about the Sabroso Music Craft Beer Taco mm-hmm. Fest. Add yeah. anything else on there. What a lineup. It's this weekend. You've got Doheny State Beach, so it's a beautiful location. And brews. You know, there's Lucha Libre-style wrestling as yeah. well all as right. that event.
I'm in.
Yeah, that's kind of like that. And you've got Flogging Molly and Bad Religion, Descendants, Good Charlotte, Black Flag, of course, The Offspring performing, krock.com for all the info.
Also, Kobayashi will be doing a taco eating contest.
What?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's friends the with, champ, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's friends with Dexter. So, coming out to do this, insane.
I wonder, does Dexter put his hot sauce on those?
Oh, yes, yeah, that's yeah. how it all started. Oh, that's how they met.
All right, full yeah. circle. I get it. Yes. All right. And you know how much we all love the dogs. And dogs with big butts, even better.
Mm.
Talking about corgis, okay? The 2019 Corgi Beach Day Corgcella is going on this Saturday, tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Who's with me?
So you can bring your dog down to the beach.
Have you ever seen a corgi in the water? Their asses just float. Like,
nice.
Not seen that.
It's there's a lot of videos just of corgi ass in the water.
I want to see your Google search.
Yeah, I don't want that in my history in case I have a heart attack and I have to clean my computer.
You don't have to have a corgi to go down there, but, you know, you can bring your any kind of dog as long as they're friendly mm-hmm. and just go have a good time. And I don't know, maybe they'll have some cool rescues down there and you can meet your favorite new pet.
Can I ask you something that we've all been wondering, and I guarantee listeners have as well? Mm-hmm. The child that's in your Mercedes-Benz, is that? Where'd you steal a kid from?
That's a friend's kid.
Sure.
Does yeah. your friend know mm. that their kid is in a commercial?
I'm like the cool aunt that like takes the kids okay. to like the horror
Do
movies.
Do you have
when
a kid? Is what we're asking.
No,
is it
I
your
don't have
kid?
A kid. Okay. No, I have three furry children.
Okay. All right.
Well, we don't want to talk about like a thyroid issue. All right. Some birthdays for you.
Kids in a commercial.
Haley Atwell, Owen Powell, Lily James, Paula Cole, Pharrell Williams, Sterling K. Brown, and Charlotte Flair. WrestleMania this weekend.
Thanks, Ellis. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with Strikers commercial-free for all during your drive home today on the world-famous K-Rock. Have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday morning. Thanks, Keith.
Don't my friend. Pass it over to me.
What if I lick my dog's butt?
Jesus, Jensen.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
One man's opinion.
Roll another one.
Yikes, yikes, yikes.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
Hello, Canada.
And I need another hit.
It's so nice to meet you. Hi. Congratulations, The Cure Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees 2019. Are you as excited as I am?
By the sounds of it, no.
Roll.
Let's all have sex.
That was strong.
This one seems to be about
spent. It's a trap.
And I don't have another cent.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about robots?
Just pass it around.
I do. I have a burning bush.
And the bogart that joined, my friend.
Old people are terrible.
Well, just pass it on down.
And the Hoodles, that's my share. So don't forget to tip that donation box, people. God bless you. So long.
That's enough from you. We've had quite enough. You can't even keep quiet. Now go on. I'll see you later. Goodbye.
And I will tell you, I'm surprised at how badly it's all gone.
Well, enjoy the movie. Thank you so much for stopping and talking. And I'm really in awe. I am...
Bong, bong.
Shot on goal! He scores! Put that baby...